The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, gang, we're going to try it again. Another month of Open Phone Philadelphia. So, hey, let's open up the phones. 215-263-WMMR. Whatever, man. Anything and everything. And as we are arranging those calls real quick, I did have an email that I wanted to read. It says, hey, guys, I am the German guy who wrote in about 2 weeks ago about the Flyers. Remember, he was...
Yes.
He's not from Philadelphia. He's German and had stumbled across our show on iTunes and... has become a Flyers fan since listening to us.
Awesome.
He says, hey, I just wanted to get a huge thank you out to you guys. I received a package from you, and that does not only include stickers and the awesome Preston and Steve calendar, but also a signed autograph from you guys. You have absolutely no idea how much this means to me. I never thought you would actually send out stuff to Germany. I almost died of a heart attack when I heard you read my email on my favorite podcast. You guys are awesome. P.S. Hamburger and schnitzel. Good thing those words translate transcend cultures. Hey, but Nick actually got an entire sentence. I don't know. Did you say something in German?
In German, yeah. I wrote, ich möchte eine Pamplemuse. And that means I would like a grapefruit.
Very nice.
Thank you. He goes on to write...
schnitzel.
He goes on to say, that made my balls tickle. And there's just some sort of just the improv that you guys have become to know as. And then Nick, he wrote something in German at the bottom. Let me hand that to you. It's underneath my quote.
Oh, man.
What does that say?
I don't know what the first one is. Ihr seid die Besten.
Yeah.
But then it says, Ihr größter deutscher Fan, and that's your biggest German fan.
Cool.
So, Ihr seid die Besten. And maybe that's you're the best.
And what's his name?
His name is Oliver Reibein.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Oliver, from Germany.
Yeah!
We appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right. You want to go to some open
calls? Do it.
We're going to Andrew. Hey, Andrew. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. What's up?
All right. Well, first, thanks to Nick for helping me get through. I just have to say, Manny on Triumph, I had an issue with a motorcycle I bought there. Nothing that was their fault or even Manny on's or even Triumph's fault. But when I took it in, it was a year out of warranty. I just had to say thanks because they fixed it without me asking.
Oh, those are good guys over there. Actually, they lent us a motorcycle for the calendar shoot.
The 2009 Totally Office calendar. Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Could not be nicer, those guys.
All right,
yeah,
Andrew.
Awesome. So thank you for letting me do this on air. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. All right, take care. See, we'll take pretty much anything here. Let me go to, what does that say?
Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron. Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, I need to know where I can find a day spa where I can take a nap after they give me a great massage.
You know, that's a common thing. Like, my wife goes to spas, you know, a fair amount. Casey, yours does as well.
Yeah,
And a place where you can just sack out for a little bit. I know Joseph Anthony probably does.
Well, they do, but you just go to the brine room. It's just like brine therapy where it's like, you know, like the saltwater air, and it's like really cool, like LED.
Oh, she loves that, yeah.
LED lights and like soft music, and it's dimly lit, and they have like little chaise lounge chairs that you can lay down in. I would imagine you could take a nap in there.
You would imagine?
Well, because I've taken a nap
or
in there.
Aaron, well, here's the deal. After a massage, whatever, come on over, drive over here. We'll let you nap in the studio.
Sure, absolutely.
We promise not to play with you.
Because I can't nap during the actual massage. I'm very relaxed, but I can't sleep.
Aaron, next time you go to get a rub somewhere, try this. Ask, book an hour massage, but tell them after a half hour you just want to sleep. You know what I mean? I mean, as long as you're paying for the room, I would imagine they'll let you crash.
And they let you sleep. Like, my wife has fallen asleep during a massage.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, though, she feels like, oh, I missed out on my massage.
That's how I feel.
But that's the desired result, right, is that you're getting relaxed.
But Aaron can't fall asleep while getting a massage. She said,
"Well, take some narcotics."
Yeah. Aaron, let me rephrase that. You can take a nap in the brine solution room. You can. Yes, you can.
As long as you've paid for the time.
As long as you pay for the time.
Aaron, just go out to the car, roll down the windows, and do a Pierre. Just take a nap.
Yeah.
I got a baby at home, so I need that relaxation room.
I understand.
Any place that you can get a spa treatment, when you're done, they do sit you in, you know, in a separate room with couches and stuff like that. I would imagine that any of them you could really take a nap in.
Yeah, but can you lay around for a couple
lay
hours?
Lay down,
Be an issue.
while they're sweeping up at the end of the night?
Let me go to Jason. It's Open Phone Philadelphia. Jason, what's up, bud?
Gadzooks.
Go ahead, man.
I got a question about the Sling Box. For
yes,
Steve.
Yes.
Okay. Now, with the Sling Box, can I watch a separate channel while my wife watches another channel at home, or does the Sling Box override it?
It overrides it. That's why you pick the cable box you don't use that much. I mean, I don't know if you have two cable boxes.
I've only got the one. I've got a Sling Box for sale up on Craigslist.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, Jason. Can you get a second cable box?
Just I could probably order one, but I don't want to pay Comcast the extra. So.
All right. Yeah, it's a great invention. I have it on my iPhone, on the iPad as well. It's awesome. But yeah, my wife is home one day while I was using it and showing it to people. She's trying to watch a show and the channels are changing. She's wondering what the hell was going on. So at least the one that I have, the most current unit that I have, no, you can't do that.
Okay, on Craigslist.
On Craigslist, right. The Sling Box.
We'll look for it. Thanks, Jason. Let me go to Greg next. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, first time, long time.
Long time first time.
What's up, buddy?
110%.
Hey, just wanted to thank you, Preston. You read my email on Friday about about going to see the movie, Get Him to the Greek.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You mentioned my shirt printing company, the New Jersey Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
It's part of OPP, man.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, let me go to Raymond. Hey, Raymond, how you doing?
I'm not bad. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Raymond?
This is more for the movie guru, Steve. There's a movie called Kids. It came out maybe late 90s, early 90s.
Yeah. We've seen it.
It's disturbing.
It's very powerful. Have you seen it, Raymond?
I have seen it. There's a character called Casper in the movie. Make sure we're on the same page of the same movie.
Yeah, Casper.
My question being is that supposedly those kids in those movies are actually underage. And I cannot find that movie for the life of God. I've searched everywhere, even the dive type VHS stores. But does the movie exist? Is it real? I mean, is it
yeah, no, it exists. It's real. We've both seen it.
I used to have it on VHS when I worked at WDRE. That's when that came out, and it actually had a pretty cool soundtrack to it.
It's about kids living on the street.
In fact, you know who's in it is
Raymond Burr,
Rosario Dawson,
Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah, Chloe Sevigny and Rosario Dawson are both in that movie.
And, It's on Amazon.com, dude.
It is on Amazon.
Yeah.
All right.
Raymond, it took Nick a quarter of a second to find it on Amazon.com.
He just found it, Raymond.
Thank you guys very much. That movie more or less kind of molded me while I was a kid in high school. It was like the movie amongst each other just to kind of do our own thing, have sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, it was the movie of the 90s.
Raymond, how has your life turned out?
Boring.
Really?
Not okay. So good. Yeah.
That movie kind of scarred me a little bit.
It's a tough movie to take.
Yeah.
If I can kind of get that movie back, maybe I can kind of invigorate the way it used to be because I have lost.
You find it inspiring, don't you? If you want a fall down, laugh out loud, funny movie, check out Schindler's List.
Right. How old are you, Raymond?
Schindler's List will make me laugh.
Dude, this movie, these kids are like 13 years old. They're doing
dying.
They're getting AIDS. They're beating. You know, it's a horrible movie.
Raymond, okay. How old are you?
30 years old.
Yeah, guess what, dude? You're not a kid anymore.
What's relive the glory?
It's called being 30.
Man, remember that?
Right, you were Raymond.
Drunk and pregnant and had AIDS. Best years of my life, man.
All right, let me go to Kevin next. You're on OPP, Kevin. What's up?
Hey, you know what? I think it's time for the bikers of Philadelphia, if they're going to tell me to share the road, to obey the stoplight.
I would have to agree with you on that.
Yep.
And you know what bothers me is that yesterday you had the bike race going on, and yet you had all these other people driving around on Main Street with their bikes.
Yep.
If you're going to pick one day, God bless you. I think it's awesome that you get to use the whole area and you ride the bikes. I'm more than happy to share the road with you.
I'm with him. I can't stand the fact that when I'm sitting at a red light, and even though there's not any traffic coming the other way, I have to remain sitting at that red light. But you, bike rider, who's supposed to follow the same rules that I am, just runs right through it. I'm like, come on.
If you're going to be in front of me and you come up to the light and you're going to keep me going 7 miles an hour, then stay at the stoplight.
All right, let me go to Ken next on Open Phone Philadelphia. Ken, what's up, man?
Down there, hair.
Down there, hair.
Very good. What's up, Ken?
I just wanted to tell everybody in the Willow Grove area that they can take their diet and throw it out the window because they're building a Sonic burger on the
Sonic in Willow Grove.
Yep.
On the corner of Mill Road and Easton Road, or 611, it's right by the entrance of the Turnpike.
Wow. So, by the way, I love your milkshake, Sonic.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Nelson. Hey, Nelson, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Nelson? What you got for OPP?
I just want to send out to Philadelphia and let them know that Temple University's men's and women's rugby team both were runners-up in the national championship this year and both ranked number two in the country.
Hey! There you go!
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey!
Hey!
I have no idea.
Rugby!
Congratulations.
Rugby!
That's cool.
Hey!
Did you know that it beat
France? French rugby, yeah!
I don't know if they do it at every game, but last season I went to a Philadelphia Wings game, and they had, apparently there's a Philadelphia rugby team, professional rugby team.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out and played in between the one of the periods. Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Is it fun to watch? It seems like
it
a good sport.
It was actually pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Didn't Dennis play, Kathy?
Rugby, yes.
That is a ridiculous sport. I mean, those guys are so freaking tough.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're no pads in their tackle. No.
He just wanted to get out of the house.
I know.
I didn't even know him when he played rugby. Stop it.
I don't care. Guys are going to punch you in the face for like an hour. I don't care.
Let me go to Rob. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I was calling in. I got two fire trucks for sale if anybody's interested.
You have two fire trucks?
Fire trucks for sale.
I got two fire trucks.
Dude,
the Pottstown Fire Department.
All right. How big are these fire trucks? Full-blown, regular, state-of-the-art fire trucks?
Yeah, absolutely. One's a classic.
What's the going price on these things, Rob?
Oh, right now we're asking $10,000 for the one. We're asking, I believe it's $12,000 for the other.
That's nothing.
How many miles?
Yeah, how many miles? And also another question, can you put a spoiler on one of those?
Hey, wait. Do whatever you guys want if you're interested.
No, seriously, how many miles on each of them?
Let's see. We have a 76. I believe there is, on the 1976 thing, we got about 56,000 on that.
It's nothing. Dude.
And then we got an 89. I believe there is roughly, I'm going to say, about 30,000 miles.
You want to go in? We should have a President Steve fire truck.
We should have a President Steve fire truck.
We
can't get a bed in the studio.
No!
What are you saying?
It's not coming in the studio.
Yeah.
It's in the parking lot.
We're going to put the
naysayer.
Yeah, we'll keep the fire truck in the parking lot.
All right.
Seriously, dude. $10,000? $12,000?
$30,000.
Do you want me to get Rob's phone number?
Yeah.
Is it in good running condition, Rob?
Oh, absolutely. They're currently in service.
All right, hang on to that 1989 one.
Dude.
Come on! Stop.
Couldn't even keep Minerva running. Are you kidding?
Well, dude, because that was a piece of junk. This is... firemen take care of their stuff, dude.
They do, and we can use this to put out the fires in Minerva every time they start they turn it on.
Well, and if they tell us we can't do something in the parking lot, we're like, well, why? We have a fire truck.
Oh, man, that's so... And we got Rodney. We have our own personal firefighter.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We could act... No. We could have our own Preston and Steve Fire Department!
Well, listen, because we're not allowed to use
a hot plate.
Fire eaters or smoke eaters anymore, because they got in trouble for hanging out with us. So we got our own fire truck.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go to some more calls. Casey,
I want to become an Indian.
Do me a favor. Interpret this note. I have no idea what that means. All right, let me go next to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Good. I just wanted to thank everybody yesterday that was stuck in traffic due to the Friends of the Forgotten rally yesterday. Just want to thank everybody.
It was a good weekend to celebrate the people who keep us safe and healthy in the city of Philadelphia. So, yeah, that's a good one.
Yay!
I approve. All right, let me go to Maxine. Hello there, Maxine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It's Open Phone Philadelphia. What you got?
I actually have a response in regards to Erin about the taking a nap after the massage.
Right.
I'm actually a massage therapist, and I can travel to people's homes, or if they want to come to my home, I would be willing to let them take a nap.
You will go to their home, or they'll come to your home?
Either or.
I think that's awesome.
Where's your home?
Where is your home? Well, how do people contact you, Maxine?
Salem. They can email me, and it would be Maxine, and then my last name, Shrek, at AOL. I know you're going to look back at that one.
Wait, Shrek, no. The monster?
What was the last name again? Hold on.
I'll spell it for you. It's S as in Sam, C-H-R-A-C-K.
Shrink.
Shrink.
Yeah, okay. And Shrek is an ogre. He's not a monster. You just watch your mouth.
Shrek.
Maxine Shrank.
Well, there's no N.
No, there's no N.
Shrek. Quit making fun of me and listen.
It's Shrek. It's Shrek. It is. It's Shrek.
Shrek, not Shrek.
Whatever.
Right. Ogre.
He's an ogre, not a monster.
Anyway, at AOL.com. All right, thank you, Maxine. We appreciate it.
You know,
that'd be a great solution to that, too. They come in, you can fall asleep, you know, and waste your money.
And you can do it in your own home.
You can do it in your home.
Let me go
her
to...
Her home or your home?
Either home. Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Is there some of the, you know... The,
shut up. Shut your hole.
Is there some of the, you know, just improv that you have been known, become to known as?
Puss bag.
What's up, Joe?
I just want to know how many Nick sounds are there officially? Wow.
Joe, that's a good question because...
Wow, I don't think
I don't
know.
Between Casey has a whole crap load, I have a whole crap load. Do you know in
and
the ballpark?
There's more to come, I'm
dozens.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, a couple. I talked to her. Nah.
Oh! Yeah! Here they go.
I talked to her. Nah.
We have tons of them.
They're on different pages.
Couple.
Yeah! That's Nick.
Oh! Hi.
Oh, no!
Oh, that's scary.
Dirt. Wait, do the
dip-a-doop-doop. Dirt.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Jesus.
What else?
I went in the ass.
Yeah. I blew my first date.
We don't have an answer, unfortunately,
for
you.
Too many. They're spread all over the place.
Yeah. All right. We need to do.
Sure, man. I can eat the meat all you want. I talked to her. Nah.
All right, now we're getting IM requests for the pond, the late night summer pond. Can you guys do that again? This happened by accident one morning. I said, with all those clips, it sounded like frogs and all kinds of animals at a summertime pond.
Yeah.
Couple.
Well.
Except for the crickets, those are all human generated.
Those are all human. Unbelievable. All right, we're only going to have time for a couple more here.
We do.
Oh, really?
So let's take.
Are you looking at the last one, Casey?
I'm looking at line three. I won't let this go.
Number eight. Wait, what?
I will not let this go.
Yeah.
He's talking about number three, Press.
And you're
line
talking
three.
About who?
I'm talking about Chris.
Okay, all right. Well, hold on. Let me go to Chris here first. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I am them.
You
I am them.
What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to my. Well, ex-fiancé now, that I'm sorry. I didn't mean to impregnate her sister.
Ooh. Wow. Way to give a shout-out.
You didn't mean to impregnate her sister?
No.
Did you fall forward with an erection?
No, he said he was at a party and it just happened.
She tripped and fell. And
landed on your manhood.
All right, so this exactly. is an official apology to you.
No, it's a shout-out.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a shout-out.
Yeah. Shout-out to all the women I've impregnated.
No, to his ex-fiance because he knocked up her sister.
Holla!
Yeah, he could have called to apologize, but no, he wanted to give a shout-out. Yeah.
Always holla!
Always forgiven.
Holla!
Okay. All right, hold on.
Sorry about knocking up your sister.
All right.
You want a fire truck?
Let me go to Tommy here. Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Hey, this is Tommy from South Philly. Since you guys got a volunteer fire engine and everything else, why not be a mechanic for 27 years? Why can't I help you?
If we get a fire truck, you're the first person we're going to.
Lose this number.
Oh, come on. I'll be right there for you. I'm always mechanic. What the hell? I ain't got nothing else to do. We got five guys here just sitting here listening to you laughing.
Exactly. laughing your ass off is what you're going to say.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
I was going to say something else. All right. You're all looking at me.
Well, do you do the mechanical work at your own home?
Yeah, well, 27 years doing nothing but laughing at
All right, Tommy.
But thank you. I appreciate
Thanks for
that.
The offer, by the way. Appreciate
Always
it.
Put that on your resume. 27 years of doing nothing.
We'll end on this call. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. What did you want to do for Open Phone Philadelphia?
Hey, listen, man, I was off work last Tuesday, and I really wanted to bring in the month. But I'm a truck driver, and I wanted to hit the air horn, but I couldn't.
Okay, you want to do it now?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's hear that horn, Mike. Blow it for us.
All right. Hey, if you guys want to throw me a case of beer, that'd be great.
I said say we hook them off.
I think we can do that, Mike. Hang on just a second. And there you go, gang. Open phone, Philadelphia.
It's open phone, Philadelphia. But you can say anything you wanna. Apologize for acting like a pig. Sell your car or advertise a gig. Pick up the horn and call. Yeah. It's open phone, Philadelphia. Yeah.
That's the name of that tune. All right. Another round of it. As of now, it's a once-a-month thing, but maybe it'll be just whenever the hell we want to do it.
I think so. It might be. I mean, people seem to really enjoy it.
Yep. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Stay where you are.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Did you guys know that the United States has a giant cheese surplus right now?
I did hear this.
Yes. We're sitting on a mountain of cheese.
So it's our duty to eat more cheese?
I guess we have to. The Bloomberg reports the United States is sitting on a mountain of cheese. At the end of March, the country had an inventory of 1.2 billion pounds of cheese. The highest in 30 years.
So why has this happened? Because I know the government cheese was being issued for a long time. Maybe perhaps is probably still being issued. But how do we end up with that voluminous amount of cheese in surplus?
Cheese. Yeah. More than half of that supply, by the way, is American cheese.
That's right. American cheese.
American cheese.
Goddamn Swiss cheese full of holes.
But fancy European imports were up 17% last year as well as prices dropped.
I'll tell you what. I've come around on cheese. Yeah. Cheese was never a thing for me, but now it is a thing and then some.
Cheese
yes,
has
Kathy.
Always been a thing for
me. I'm like an onion. There's many layers to me.
Yes, there are.
You know what's made its way into my household are those baby bells.
Yeah, those
are
good.
Oh, are those? Do the kids dig those?
Yeah, I dig them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Those, we used to buy those in Laughing Cow. They're just good little go-tos. Oh. You know, the little wedges.
Yeah. How many do we eat in one shot?
You've never had Laughing Cow?
No.
It's a soft cheese. It's really, really good. You can either just eat it as is or spread it on a cracker.
Or rub it on your face. Or your call face. Yourself a bitch.
Spread it on a cracker.
Do that, too.
I love cheese.
Yeah, I have a long standing relationship with cheese.
So this cheese, the surplus goes across all types of cheese.
Yeah.
It's not just like a huge reservoir full with cheese whiz.
I've told you guys this story. Cheese is always synonymous with my best friend, Steve, because one night we went out and... We're just bombed out of our minds. Went to a party or something like that.
Did you buy a big bag?
Went back to my house. No. But we had like, I had like a whole half pound thing of cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
It was a block of cheese. And it looked really good to me. It looked so good that I was just holding it in my hand and eating it like a candy bar.
Dude, my friend Super Dave would do that. Cracker Barrel. You know the Cracker Barrel?
Oh, like, I remember the end result of this.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and this was.
And you're drunk.
This is before I got the spins.
Right.
So
it seemed like a good idea.
It seemed like I was hungry. It looked good. It tasted good. I enjoyed the ride. And then at some point, the bed started spinning. And I was just too inebriated to get up and go to the bathroom, so I just leaned over and puked on my phone. And it was just orange vomit.
Cheese.
Yeah, it was just all cheese. All cheddar cheese.
So you basically just cheesed your phone.
I cheese whizzed my phone.
That's disgusting.
It was pretty nasty.
So wait, hold on. Can you just clarify? So why do we have so much cheese?
The overabundance sounds like a cheese lover's dream come true, but apparently it's a sign that we're having a hard time selling, we're exporting it.
They're also fracking cheese now.
They're finding it?
That if they pump chemicals into certain deposits, subterranean deposits, that all sorts of cheese comes
cheese
out.
Cheese just comes up out of the ground. No, apparently we're having a hard time selling it to other countries.
Oh, wow.
So
why? Does our cheese stink?
Well, that's weird because there were
over half
shortages.
Of it's American cheese. I don't think American cheese is considered high quality cheese. It's cheap cheese.
Right.
Yeah. What were you saying, Casey?
I thought there was a cheese shortage at, somewhere.
There are some other countries that are having cheese shortages.
Can we airlift our cheese into those areas?
Yeah, they just
into
don't
those
buy it
war-torn
from us.
Areas?
We knew a cheesemonger.
Yes.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
At DeBruno's?
She was knowledgeable.
Yeah, she was
very attractive. When you hear cheesemonger, you think you're going to go...
Yeah, anytime you hear the word monger.
Yeah.
She was an attractive young woman.
Yeah.
I'm the cheesemonger. I want to help a person's cheese. Don't be afraid of my open wounds. They dried up years ago.
They have a great cheese section at Whole Foods. And the... Once I had a guy help me, another time was a woman. So there are a bunch of knowledgeable people there as well. But they put together, like I just said, I'm having people over. I want to put out a cheese plate. And they put together, I guess the cheeses that you're supposed to have when, the different types and things that complement them. And they put the whole thing together for me. And they were like, here's what you buy. Here's how you set it up. The guy was like so into it, kind of like that girl that was in the studio. He was so into it. Mm-hmm. And he would like give me little pieces of the cheese and be like, here, you have to taste this. You have to. And then he would like wait for my reaction to the taste of the cheese.
Yeah. When you put out, I put some thought into a cheese tray that I'm going to do. You want to have a cheddar. You want to have like a lighter, like white, or just something that's lighter in flavor.
Something in a can.
You want to have a blue cheese, and then you want to have like a brie, some soft cheese as well.
Now, what do you pair those cheeses with? Because I'll go to these places, and I never thought I'd be this guy. Mm-hmm. But you pair
nuts
them with
nuts and
fruits, grapes.
Stuff like grapes.
Grapes are great
like
to put out.
Crazy.
Little slices of apple.
And crackers.
Yeah.
Almonds.
But apple, you don't want to go with because they brown after a little while. If you're going to eat it right then, but for a party or something like that, you want to put out grapes and things along.
Do you eat them in big blocks, Preston? You bite it off?
Yeah, exactly. Like a candy bar.
How much
Steve, we had a cheese plate at my house for a family party, and there was a cheese that I thought tasted disgusting, but my cousin, he told me, he's like, okay, just eat that with this and this. And it was like, it was like an almond and a cranberry or something like that. And then, maybe drizzle a little honey on it.
Swizzle.
And then I ate it, and sure enough.
Don't drizzle. Swizzle.
What was disgusting by itself was delicious with all that other stuff.
Okay, yeah. So the pairings make a big... It's the kind of thing that you used to think was very aloof and elitist and so on and so forth. And now, one of my favorite cheeses is still Monterey Jack, I guess?
Yeah.
Standard?
Colby Jack? Pepper Jack. I do.
Simple Jack is great.
Prima Donna is my go-to. It's really good.
You know what I haven't had in a while, but when we were children, we used to make these in our toaster oven. You take a Triscuit cracker.
Okay.
And then...
Triscuit.
Triscuit.
Yeah.
And then
Mother, where are the Triscuits? We're making after-school snacks.
But, like, you get a block of Cracker Barrel cheese, like extra sharp or something like that, and you just cut a little slice off of that, and you put it on a Triscuit cracker, you stick it in the toaster.
Well, little bit of garlic salt?
No. Yeah, I used to do that in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Almost like mini little pizzas.
Mini.
Of sorts.
Mini.
All right. Well, anyhow, we have an overload of cheese.
What are they going to do? Are they going to build dams with it?
Maybe they should do. Why let it go to waste?
Damn.
Why not another Mount Rushmore made out of cheese?
Oh, that's a great idea.
I've seen a Mount Rushmore made out of butter.
Yeah, they have done that before.
Well, that's another dairy product.
It is. I don't know if we have a surplus of butter.
Can't do it with yogurt. It's not structurally sound.
No,
frozen yogurt.
What's that?
Frozen yogurt.
In the proper climate, yes.
Yeah.
I'll concede that.
I noticed something else.
Oh, wait a second.
We're
really
noticing.
All right.
Right now.
We've gone into it.
Yeah, hold on a second. Casey's got
new equipment. 1 second.
Yep.
Preston Elliott.
The Noticer. He notices the world around him and then tells you about it.
I added that.
Sports authorities closing all their stores nationwide.
I was sad to hear this.
Every single one of them.
Where's the closest one to here?
I don't know. There
used to be one at the Granite Rim Mall.
No, that was Modell's.
Champs? Was it Modell's?
Yeah.
Oh. It was Champs. It was Mo a hybrid store. There was word initially, Preston, that they were going to do a restructuring, and they were going to like save about half the stores. Mm-hmm. And then when I guess they crunched the numbers, as Jackie Bam Bam says, they realized that it was better just to try to find a buyer for the whole chain.
Nick found the locations locally. There's one on Old York Road. There's one in the Hillview Shopping Center somewhere in New Jersey. I don't know.
Where I always like Sports Authority.
And then the shops at Valley Square as well.
Does that mean they're going to have like a blowout sale?
It's a good question.
Prices have never been lower.
2 months after announcing plans to close about 140 stores, the company has decided to sell its remaining assets rather than attempt to recognize under Chapter 11, reorganize under Chapter 11 bankruptcy. If a buyer emerges, some locations could be saved, but otherwise all locations nationwide will be closed. There are 463 Sports Authority stores in 41 states, employing more than 14,500 people.
That's what sucks. All those people losing jobs.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a place that is doing a completely going out of business sale?
Yes. Yeah.
And they will not only sell the products that they've normally had, but they will sell the shelves and the display racks.
I love it.
And all that stuff as well.
That's how I set up my department store.
Ah.
Yeah.
There's
in my basement.
Like that. Yeah.
There's a bookstore in Wayne, right on North Wayne Avenue, and it's closing. And they are getting rid of literally everything in the store. Every book that they have, every CD that they've ever sold.
They want to make every penny they can.
Shelving and whatever else is available. I mean, you probably buy the computers that they
have. And the employees are turning tricks.
Yeah. I mean, they're total sluts.
Oh, my God. I almost spit water out of my mouth.
Same thing happened at the Strawbers and Clothier because when I was living at my parents' house, I lived on the third floor. I had two rooms, but I had no closet. So my mom ended up getting one of those round racks.
One of the round ones,
and
really?
That was essentially my closet. Yeah.
You can do it. That's great. You have to go looking for those places that are selling that. But if you can get that, imagine if you had one of those racks.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
We have a couple of racks. They're not the round ones, though.
Rack them.
But we have a couple of clothing racks. They are awesome to have when you're doing your laundry and stuff like that, and you just hang everything up. We do it downstairs.
Rack them.
And then you eventually collect it all and take it upstairs. So it makes it easier, unless you have your laundry room is upstairs.
I almost
and then the water starts leaking all over your house.
Yeah, that's an issue.
When did that happen to
me?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Two weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
Because same thing happened to Jim Antes in our sales department. That's the only reason why I wouldn't want
the laundry
in the second
upstairs,
floor.
Upstairs, yeah.
It would be really great and really...
Do you know what the thing that I think is would be awesome? Do you guys have... Do you have laundry chutes in your house?
No, I did as a kid.
That
man, G.I. Joe was awesome in that thing.
God almighty.
You could throw all kinds of stuff down in there, yeah.
Because it sucks bringing the hamper down from upstairs.
I hate it.
You know, I started the... I took over the laundry responsibilities in my household.
Yes.
Are you still doing it?
Yeah. Was that a promotion or a demotion?
It was a...
Out of frustration.
Well, yeah, that and I, you know, maybe I should do more in my household.
A reorganization.
Yes.
I had some...
Instead of declaring bankruptcy, you restructured.
I had some suggestions on how to improve the laundry situation.
She said do it yourself.
And that was met with open arms. And
yeah, she was totally receptive
to
it.
Oh, this is excellent. You're going to tell me how to do it better.
Okay, well then you can do it your goddamn self.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been doing it. I think I've been doing a pretty good job.
Yeah?
Would she concur? Would your wife concur?
Yeah, I think she would. And I think, you know, I probably should have been doing it longer because what it does is it eases her a little because she does, my wife does so much around the house. So, but I do know when it comes to taking the clothes out of the dryer and folding them, I start to fill with rage and I don't know why.
Because it sucks. That's why I hate it.
Don't you? Here's the thing. When I do it, I know you guys have said you do it. You get the table, the fold-out table, put it in front of the TV, and do it that way.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Like, I get angry at little things. Like, Why is every single article of clothing inside out? Why?
Why is every single article
inside out?
Inside out. Oh, okay. Everything.
Well, how hard is it to take your socks and put them right side in?
Nah,
right.
But when you're taking your clothes off to take your, you know, to change in your pajamas or whatever, they turn up inside out,
but
and you just throw them in a pile.
Nick, no. I don't necessarily think it's...
You're going to have to do it at one time or another.
Yeah, before you put them in the laundry.
See, that's the thing. I think the wash and dry cycle turns it inside out. I don't necessarily think it's my children.
You'd have to have a very powerful cycle that would actually... Well, no, maybe on socks that would be a tough call. Maybe in a shirt it could do that.
Yeah.
But socks are, to turn them inside out...
But I'm like, and I just, okay. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, you need to do an experiment.
Yeah.
The next load of laundry you do, make sure that everything is right side, throw it in there, and then see what happens.
But you have to do a double blind. You have to have two washing machines. One you put clothes in, and the other one you put a living possum in.
Okay. Wait, why the living possum?
It's scientific.
Okay.
Yeah. The placebo effect.
Don't question.
I'm not questioning. I'm just inquiring.
Who's the scientist here?
Right, it's a good point. You did have science goggles on last week.
I did, yeah.
And a robe.
Hang on. I want to go to the
accoutrement.
Let me go to the laundry chute thing here. I have Andy on the line. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Dad Zooks.
Buddy, what's up?
Hey, you know, when I was a kid, you could buy a bow and arrow set that had suction cups on the end of the arrow. So I took it off, sharpened it in a pencil sharpener, and I shot it up the laundry chute. At my brother and missed his eyeball by about a half an inch.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I tell you what, that would be pretty cool.
Oh.
To have the laundry chute just in general and then the stuff you could do playing with it.
Yeah, and I think we were 7 or 8, so I didn't know I could blind him. But I still look at that scar today, and I'm like, nice job.
Very, very well done.
Good shot.
You know what, that person and the dumbwaiter, you know, the... For hoisting food up and down.
There's a restaurant in Skipack, Park Bistro. They have a dumbwaiter there.
I want one so bad.
They don't, but Webster, they just use it.
Who ordered the stove? That's our dumbwaiter.
But they just use it for dirty dishes and stuff.
Right, right.
You know, what did Casey?
Webster had a dumbwaiter.
Silver Spoons have one as well?
Maybe. Well, they, listen.
They had a train.
They had a train in their house.
Right.
And he had a race car bed. But, Webster had a secret pathway that was behind a clock.
That's
and
right.
And then he also had a...
Where are you, little fella? Where are you hiding? Got some Jesus juice for you to drink. Relax your muscles.
Oh, dude. Ew. Dude.
Where's my little buddy? God damn it, is he in the dumbwaiter again?
He would sit there when he was sad, right? Wouldn't he go in there and they would like open the clock and
they'd
be like,
find him.
There he is.
There he's bummed out.
So good.
Yeah.
Man. There you are, my little friend. Look at this. Oh, I open the door and it's like delivery.
Oh, my God. Not delivery.
No, it's DiGiorno.
It's the Webster.
It's delightful is what it is. Let's play pool cue and you're the chalk.
Oh,
I think it's probably...
Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about something else.
It's a bad idea for any cheesemonger with children to have a dumbwaiter or a laundry chute
or any of that stuff. Yes, absolutely.
I always wanted all that stuff. What I really craved was the Munsters had that lift-up staircase.
Yeah.
And I know that's a real thing,
right?
The Munsters. Mm-hmm. But all of those trap doors and all that stuff that you could have in the house. But to me, a dumbwaiter seemed like that.
Yeah. Well,
or a laundry chute.
What other pop culture references had, like, because in the movie Clue, there were all those hidden doors. And, like, you know, obviously in Scooby-Doo, they'd be able to get around the house.
Do a search on, and I've done this before, of real secret passages.
Okay.
Or real secret rooms. There are people that have a large enough house, and they do it. And they have a bookshelf that'll move, and it opens up to private little
how
nook.
Awesome.
I would love to have that. It'd be so cool. Yeah.
At Bank and Bourbon, in the Lowe's, there is a bookshelf, and if you pull it open, there is a special secret room.
Is it a vault?
It's a special bourbon tasting room. It's just like
no
seven
way.
Or eight people there. There, John DuPont Preston would go. There was a passage between the walls.
Yeah,
remember he would go.
Yeah. And when he would always say there were wrestlers hiding in the walls.
Yes.
When he was flipping the F out.
That's what he meant.
And people thought he was a loon. No, there was enough space. He would do it. He would go, sneak around the facility between the walls.
See, my son is 8, so he's all into this now. And he wanted to build a secret door or a secret passageway in his bedroom. And he had it all mapped out. and he had the wall picked out. This is where I want to put it. But I was like, dude, come over here. Because if you go through the wall, you're going to just... I have a two-story foyer. So he would go through the wall and then out the foyer. So his plan was a little bit flawed. Because if he opened the door and walked out, he would probably fall 10 feet down to the ground.
Well, he's a kid. You got to help him when he's designing that stuff. I've always liked the kitchens that have... And it's in larger houses where it has a secret staircase upstairs from the kitchen. If you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like just, yeah, back staircase.
Like a service staircase? Yeah,
exactly. Different Strokes had that.
See, Different Strokes had everything.
Yeah.
Those lucky kids.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Drummond.
Now, my friend Steve and his...
walk-in fireplace.
Just a regular closet, but there was a small hall that had access. It was like a almost not quite a crawl space, but it would go into an unfinished part of the way their house was laid out. I guess it went over into a part of the attic or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. So
but
was
it wasn't
hanging
up, it was just straight across. Yeah.
Was that the DBH room?
It was the bong room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Our attic had the classic, you know, growing up, had the you pulled on the opening and then the
ladder, comes
ladder
down.
Came down.
Yes, oh, us too.
That was so awesome. All you could do, though, is crawl up and get itchy because of the insulation in the attic.
Yeah. Let me go to Allie. Hello there, Allie.
Hi, Preston. How are you?
Good. What's up, Allie?
Okay, so my grandpa lived in this creepy old farmhouse in Virginia. And he had this huge mural on the wall that would completely rotate upside down. And then when you went through, there was, like, rooms upon rooms covered with, like, antique weapons from, like, every war there ever was, like, tomahawks, guns. It was, like, the most...
So, Allie, when you say it would turn upside down and reveal an entrance?
Yeah, like, it was a huge mural, probably, like, 6 feet high by, like, 4 feet wide.
Wow.
It would completely rotate upwards, and you'd walk through, and they would come back down and conceal the door.
And what was your grandfather, a weapon smuggler, or what were all those rooms with weapons for?
He was a retired American Airlines pilot, and then he started collecting antiques in his old age, and that was kind of just his thing.
He was a collector, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's very sad. Wouldn't you love that?
Do you know what you are if you have a secret room in your house?
What?
Privileged. Privileged. Cheesemongers in hidden rooms, the sign of privilege.
Or you're just good with your hands. Like
attics. Not everyone can afford an attic.
If I was a carpenter, if I knew what I was doing around the house, it doesn't seem like it would be that expensive. Because as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I could probably have a secret room underneath my staircase into my basement.
Yep.
I could, but I don't know how to do it. And I'm not going to pay somebody to do it because I'm not privileged.
I ain't privileged.
Huh? Can't you just check online secret room builders?
Oh, actually, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Room builders?
I have.
Just kidding.
No, in the basement, we have a room that's underneath the stairs.
Oh.
But it's just a door to it there. And it's just storage. We just put stuff in there. But if I were to do like a bookcase, a bookshelf there, like a sunken in bookshelf.
Pull it out. That's where you can go to pull it out.
Pull it out room. Yeah. The spanking
Dad's in his special room.
I have a pull it out room.
Yeah, don't come knocking if the books are rocking.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Jay. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, Jay. What's up, man?
Man, listen, a couple months ago, my friend Scott and I sat in on your show. We won a contest, and it's funny because we both recently moved to Delaware, and Scott moved to Odessa, which has old historic houses, and this home, we believe, was a DuPont's home.
Oh!
When we were helping him move in at 4 a.m. in the morning, he's showing me the house, and he's showing me his laundry chute from the upstairs that goes down to the basement. So I'm envisioning his young daughters using it as like an escape pod. So we go down into this basement, and where the laundry chute drops, there are these two, like, I don't want to say ceramic, but tables with a sink, and the chute comes right into play. and it's an old house, and it's creepy. I mean, it's like something you'd see out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So are you saying, Jay, that it was the DuPont home, or was it one of the DuPont homes?
It was one of the DuPont homes. They had these clocks with DuPont plaques, some of them, and this was left behind, I believe, in the house in the kitchen area, and history has shown that this was a DuPont's house.
Okay.
And, like, when you go into the front living room, there's a bookcase on the whole wall, and it's a creepy room, kind of like you pull the books and the secret door opens.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those houses where you could tell that during, I guess, a slave trade period or whatever it was, that there were some things that this house was used for that weren't meant for the...
Or like, even during Prohibition or something.
Yeah.
You know, the secret rooms... kept secrets.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay. I would love that.
Speaking of, this is on a different thing, but the DuPont thing.
Yeah.
My friend Kent works over at DuPont Country Club, so he's been there for a while and knows it's right, you know, some of the houses are right near the grounds. He was pointing out this one house of the DuPonts. He said John DuPont at one point, there was some contention with the, like a girl he was seeing or something like that. And they were having Thanksgiving dinner, and they didn't want her to come over. The family didn't.
Yeah.
So John pulled a tank up on the front yard.
Oh, I remember.
And started
this.
Shooting. Now, they weren't explosive rounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like dummy rounds, but started shooting them at the house.
He got access to a tank. I remember.
Yes.
The
dude was insane.
What a lunatic.
Completely.
Well, you speaking of the hidden passageways, and I don't know if this is accurate in the movie, but in Firefox, right? Was it
Foxcatcher? Chaser. Foxcatcher.
Jenna Fisher, the name of the movie. He when he is trying to evade after they come to his house after he shot the trainer, he goes down a tunnel that puts out away from the house, and I think that's actually based on something that he had at the estate. So there was sort of a hidden escape tunnel,
probably.
Yeah, when you design a hidden escape tunnel, you're up to no good.
Yeah, you're going to be escaping for some reason.
Yes, does it come with a hidden escape tunnel?
Are those stories about the tunnels out of the White House true? I mean, I'm sure some of it is fictional, but like that Nixon would use them to go out to get away from the White House, and JFK would use them for the women.
I love chocolate malted. I go out late at night. Kennedy.
Yeah.
The word was that there are a couple extra tunnels in the White House now that are used, obviously, for security and for Secret Service, but that were originally designed for subterranean trysts.
Yeah, get the women in.
Yeah.
The women.
The women.
I'm going to go to...
Yeah, one of my beaver tunnels.
Let me go...
It sounds like a porn star.
Yeah.
Beaver tunnels.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
So I had a boss whose office you could see from the warehouse where I worked. You could always tell that there was an extra room on it, but when I went in it, you know, I couldn't tell, you know, there was no extra doors or anything. So one day I asked him, I said, you know, I can tell that there's another room off your office, but there's no doors, you know, how do I get in there? You know, just out of curiosity. And he showed me, he opened up the bookcase, which swung open. And off of his office, he had a full bar and a hot tub and all that extra stuff. Yeah,
that is cool.
You know, a regular door in there. He didn't want any of his clients to be able to see that he had all that extra stuff in there. It just seemed unprofessional, I guess.
That is cool.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Do you remember the episode of the Munsters? I keep going back to the Munsters. But they go to this guy who's a car executive, and Herman has the Fergozzi emerald on his ring. It's stuck on his finger.
No.
So they go, this guy's an executive. He goes, I don't. It's ridiculous. And then Grandpa does some sort of thing, and he goes, okay. And this is in a business office in a high-rise building, and he pulls back the bookcase, and there's a bubbling cauldron and cobwebs, and thing. But, it just reminded of George Costanza's desk, his hiding place under his desk.
He could go take naps.
We're just drawn to stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, let me go to Roy. Hey, Roy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, my boss's boss has got a pretty massive house in New Jersey. And I like throwing parties and stuff, which is cool. He's a pretty cool dude. We were over there like 3 years ago, and he's taking us for a tour through the house, and he shows this little secret room that's just a library. And fast forward like 4 or 5 hours, it's like midnight. And my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, we can't find her for like 3 hours.
And we're looking around. We finally look in this room, and she's passed out on a couch in this little secret room.
Oh, wow. So what? How was it hidden? How was the room hidden?
It was its office dining room, and it looks, I mean, the walls, you can't even tell it's there. Like, the chair rail kind of continues through, and, like, you just kind of have to push on it, and it pops open. But I don't know how she's, like, she just stumbled away in there.
See, so what would you rather have, Preston? The one, the wall that pivots around 360 a la Young Frankenstein?
Okay.
Do you want the bookcase that slides into the wall? Do you want one that lifts up a la Simsalabim, you know, that sort of deal?
I think the coolest secret room opening mechanism is in the Christian Bale Dark Knight movies, where he does the three different notes on the piano.
Yes, yeah.
Bling, bling, bling. The door opens up. I thought that was pretty cool. Of course, you have the original Batman, where they tilt the head.
Dead back, yeah.
Was it, I think it was Shakespeare?
I think so, yeah.
And then you hit the switch and it opens up. Or now the one that revolves in
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein is the candle. The candle back
in the holder.
There's one in Last Crusade in Indiana Jones where the Nazis are on one side of the fireplace, and then there's like in a stately room on the other side of it, and they have to they take one of I think it's one of the andirons, and they pull that back.
Yeah,
and Indiana's dad.
I want that.
Yeah. I think for sheer spectacle, Steve, the revolving one would look the coolest.
It would look the coolest. Yeah. However, when you have one. I think there's one in Gotham where it is behind the fireplace. So the fireplace lifts up.
Okay.
I think that's Gotham. One of them has it, but yeah. So the fireplace lifts up because you would never look behind the fireplace.
Or if we want to go back to Batman for a moment with the waterfall.
Oh, yes.
And when that parts, you it's
awesome.
You know.
And that's real.
That's real stuff.
Real science for real.
The Batman versus Superman
was pretty badass, too.
Awesome.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Into the lake.
Into the lake.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. I do not know, but I do. Now you got me thinking because I do have that. I'm privileged. I have an extra under the staircase closet.
Not everyone has a special room where they can spank it.
Might be able to make a little secret passage in there. All right. Anyhow, these are just things
that 56 windows.
Things that I noticed this morning I thought would pass along to you.
This has been Preston Elliott.
It's getting worse.
I know it is.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Before we get to our guests in studio, one of our sales managers, Jim Antes, showed up. And the first thing out of his mouth was, he thought we were live on the horse. Thought we were playing radio, Jim.
I'm sitting at my desk, and, you know, I'm sitting there going, what kind of scam is this? You know, what kind of gimmick is this? And I walk around the corner, I'm going down to get a cup of coffee, and I see all this blue, like, paper, like toilet paper on the floor to cover it. I turn the corner and there's a horse staring me in the face. I'm like, what? I can't believe it. They really have a horse here.
We have
Unbelievable.
So, you know, next week we're going to work on something more exotic.
A grizzly bear.
Yeah.
We're already purchasing salmon.
But in the meantime, it is a kind of it's a circus atmosphere. Yeah. It's Kathy's birthday this morning. We do have the moon bounce and we've got the clown here. And we're going to hit the pinata a little later on. And see how many whacks it takes Kathy to knock that open. So please stop by if you get a chance. But hey, we do have a guest in the studio. He is from the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
And give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
He is a legend. I mean, if you were a fan, especially in the beginning days of WrestleMania and things like that in the 80s, you will know this guy well. Please welcome the mouth of the South, Mr. Jimmy Hart,
to the show this morning. Come on in, Jimmy.
Hey, look what he's got.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Happy birthday, dear Kathy. Happy birthday to you. Hey, and look, we stopped by this morning and got your official Jimmy Hart Mouth of the South birthday cake. It's all yours. Look at this.
Thank you.
That is a beautiful
Mick Jagger
Parker do that for you?
No. Oh, that's so
would
nice.
Bon Jovi do that for you?
No.
The Mouth of the South did that.
That's right.
You know, man, it's great to be here, guys.
It is
you
awesome know, to have you in here,
man,
Jimmy.
My favorite tag team in the morning. You know, Preston and Steve and now Kathy. This is going to be great, man. I love this.
And horses. How can you beat that?
Oh, my, you know what? But, you know, I thought it was a rib, too, telling you the truth, because you know, a lot of times a lot of the DJs, you know, they go, we got this and we got that because it's radio. Nobody ever really knows, right? Buddy, when we came up here, there was a lady knocking on the door because we couldn't get in. She goes, I'm coming up to ride the horse. She was downstairs. And I said, oh, my God. We got in here. It really is. It's great, man. You got the little jumping gym set out here for everybody, but everybody needs to come by. This is the real deal.
That's right, man. We don't lie about that stuff.
Boy, you don't. It's just unbelievable.
Hey, Jimmy, may I applaud you for being one of the few people in America who can still pull off the mullet hairdo.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And look fashionable.
I love you guys. You know what? I've always tried to keep the same look. As you get older, you know, you break down a little bit here and there, but I've been so blessed and so lucky to still be kind of hanging out. You know, this past 4 months ago, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, myself were inducted into the Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
And, you know, that was great for that.
My God, that is unbelievable. I want to describe to people who Jimmy, may not be completely familiar with you, but maybe, I think everybody knows your look, but some people who weren't into wrestling may not remember. Jimmy was the guy, had the dark mullet hairdo, and he always carried around a bullhorn with
megaphone!
Him. He's got that with him. Always wearing sunglasses, always has the megaphone. Usually, you'd wear like a skinny tie, usually, jumping around in and out of the ring.
Well, when I managed the Honky Tonk Man, I wore the musical note outfits. When I managed the Heart Foundation, I had the hearts. When I managed Terry and Dory Funk, I kind of had the Western look. So, I was kind of like Lon Chaney of wrestling. I had a million different outfits and different looks for that. But,
you know what? You were sort of because I originally wasn't that big a wrestling fan, and then, but when I would see you on, I would be like, well, this guy's pretty funny, and watch it, and that was my entree into it. You were the key.
Well, you know, I was so blessed when Vince called me 21 years ago to come up to the WWE, of course, WWF back then. I was in Memphis with Jerry the King Lawler, and that's where we did all the stuff with the late, great Andy Kaufman back then.
Wow.
You were involved in that?
Oh, God, for about a year and a half. Yeah, I managed Andy and everything. And
Weren't you in Man on the Moon? Did you make an appearance in that movie?
Well, what happened? I couldn't be in it because at the time I was with WCW, World Championship Wrestling, with Ted Turner, and Lawler was with the WWE, and so we couldn't be on the same show together because it was a major lawsuit.
Right.
Of course, after the movie comes out 6 months later, Vince buys them out. I could have been on the show then. Right. But the story of my life. But it's you know, I've had a great career. Before that, I was in a group called the Gentries. We had a one-hit wonder. We had a million seller called Keep On Dancing. We toured with Dick Clark.
The Gentries, yeah.
The song, Keep On Dancing.
Yeah.
And so we did that for so many years. And look, Kathy just laughed. Kathy, I blew my voice out singing Happy Birthday to you. Hey, but you know what? Let me tell you what I've got for it, too. I just dropped one of the discs out. This is a brand new little disc I'm giving to you. And we're going to have something special this weekend at the Wrestle Reunion. But this is your official XWF. Hulk Hogan's on the cover of it. But all the legends are on this particular
DVD,
too.
She loves Hulk Hogan.
I'm not kidding. She's a huge Hulk Hogan
fan. And by the way, I've been in a couple episodes already of Hogan Knows Best.
Nice!
And
yes.
I talked to Hulk yesterday when I got off the plane up here, and we're starting to film 12 more episodes in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's good.
So that's good.
The show is doing very well, and we had him on. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the one where he went back. I think it was the induction into the
Wrestle Hall of Fame.
And he's kind of seeing everybody, and he sort of, as an aside, says, geez, I look a lot better than these guys.
Hey, I know. And he goes, hey, there's Jimmy Hart. And look, I said, wait a minute, Hulk. He goes, well, I was lying on that one. I said, you're killing me, Hulk. You're killing me. You know,
Jimmy, did you ever get, in all those years of being a manager and involved in wrestling, did you get did they slap you around a little bit?
A little bit. I've still kind of got a big knot on my head right here from many years ago with Junkyard Dog, of course. I've had a broken jaw. Lawler gave me that. He said his fist slipped, but he tried to give me a root canal with his fist. I know exactly what happened on that. But a lot of times, you know, we were in different kind of gimmick matches where I might be in a six-man tag with Bret Hart and Neidhart against whoever. And you know, a lot of crazy things do happen in professional wrestling, of course, like anything else.
Was there ever a wrestler who just didn't get it and you know, really let the rage fly?
Paul Orndorff, I mean, he's still, even at WrestleMania 21, when we got inducted, he was sitting next to me. I think he still believed that we had a match coming up this weekend or something. I don't know what was happening on this stuff, but I said, wake up, please. This is entertainment now. You're killing me.
Yeah. I don't think, and the transition was made. You know, I remember, you know, in our younger days, you did, that is real, it's real, it's real. It's sports entertainment. I think it's as popular as it's ever been. I don't think any, you know, you conceded any viewers because, you know, it wasn't a legitimate full-on sport.
Right, but it's like NASCAR. It's like anything else. It's all entertainment.
Sure.
I mean, who would ever believe that with all the controversy going on in baseball, right?
Right.
The basketball had the big fights in the bleachers like wrestling. Mm-hmm. Of course, hockey was on strike. They're back now, of course. Who would ever think that NASCAR and wrestling would be what's really happening?
Yeah,
we
never
go on strike.
Yeah. But I bought into it, though, because when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, I totally was into the good guys. And you'd come out there, and I would watch it, and I'd get so mad at you. I'd be like, get him out of the ring. And when you'd get your ass kicked every now and then, I'd be like, yeah, that was awesome. Well, God, I hate it.
Well, you know what happened? I think everybody in the audience knew they could beat Jimmy Hart up. Right. The women, the 5-year-old kids could beat me up. Anybody could. But the wrestlers, they were kind of scared of. So
I've got a caller or an instant message, or actually he's on hold, but I'll ask the question. Caller Mike wants to know, who was the most fun to manage in your years of wrestling?
Probably the Nasty Boys, because they were so crazy. We would sit with the Nasty. I mean, think about this. When I went into the dressing rooms back in the 80s, it was like the who's who of wrestling. Andre the Giant playing cards to my right. The honky-tonk man tuning his guitar. The British Bulldogs with Matilda.
Oh,
Jake
God,
the Snake with Damien. I mean, there were the Nasty Boys talking over their match with the Rougeau brothers for 20 minutes. When the bell rung, we went to the ring. The Nasty Boys forgot everything they talked about.
Right.
I mean, everything. But they were wild. But I've had so much fun. I've been blessed, really. When I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror and say, did I really get paid for doing this all the years? Because so many radio stations we've done through the years, everybody's been so wonderful. And especially now, as we get older, I don't know if they feel sorry for us or not, but everybody grew up watching us, so it's been great.
Are you amazed by the spread of the audience and who comes up to you as a fan? I mean, because when Kathy told us she was a huge Hulk Hogan fan, our heads nearly exploded.
Well, you know what? It's been so crazy. It seems like everything in the 80s is so... Look at the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Selling out everywhere. No matter what they look like, what they say, what they do, the people love them because you get your money's worth. But I think what happened to us in the 80s, we did our own interviews. We got to dress the way we wanted to dress. And now, I think so much stuff is scripted and other people write it for them. It takes away from the characters. It's like y'all get to ad-lib. You get to be yourself.
Right.
If somebody came in every morning saying, look, this is what you guys are going to do today, then you're not going to be yourself. You're going to be what they wanted you to be.
And they legitimately, I mean, they have these storylines backstage, and they are really, in a lot of ways, scripted sitcoms,
right.
You know?
And you know what happens, too? I think somebody asked the other day, if you read in the paper about child abuse, or if you read in the paper about the war in Iraq, if you read in the paper, you don't want to go pay $40 or $50 to watch a wrestling show to see what you just read in the paper being acted out.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, so back then we didn't do all this stuff. We just had fun.
Do you love this reunion stuff that you're involved with, getting back together with the gang?
God, it's so cool because you get to see everybody again. But it's really a one-on-one. I know it sounds kind of corny, but you get to the fans. They ask you the craziest things, and they're so wonderful. They do autographs with you. You get to make pictures with them. But they really tell you, they bring so much memorabilia up. And what I do, I collect memorabilia, and I always go, hey, have you got an extra copy of that? You know me? So, but it's a lot of fun, and you know, it's just a lot of great things are going to be happening.
You know what we got to do? We got to get Jimmy to sign our megaphone before he leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. Using yesterday.
I like it.
We'll make sure we do that. Who are you managing?
Well, believe this or not, on the first WrestleMania, I was on the first WrestleMania of 10 of them before I left to manage Hulk full-time.
And I watched it.
And go to do Thunder in Paradise and then WCW. But I am managing Greg the Hammer Valentine, who I managed on the first WrestleMania against Tito Santana Arriba. Yes, can you believe that?
Arriba!
Hey, you know what I'm doing for you guys, too? I have a brand new energy drink that's coming out, as everybody does. It's called the Mouth of the South. Not that I need more energy, but but I'm sending y'all a case. I'm going to get a card from y'all's program director and send y'all a case of it next week. So it's
awesome.
Got a little
cool
picture on the front. It's all crazy.
Absolutely.
Hey, I love you guys, man.
I got a quick question. Just because the Hart name ruled wrestling for, I don't know, the 80s and 90s or whatever, are there any younger Harts coming up into wrestling right now?
You know, absolutely. There's a Teddy Hart that's coming up, which I believe is the nephew of Brett. And also, Davey Boy Smith, the late, great Davey Boy Smith, his son is starting to wrestle, too. So I think the Hart general, who knows, maybe Jimmy Hart would put the old blue Mike Kmart special jackets back on and manage another Hart coming up. But, you know, like I said, Vince McMahon has been so wonderful to all of us through the years by keeping us alive. And also, I work with a company called Total Nonstop Action Wrestling out of Universal. Universal, and we're going to be starting to be on Spike TV. It's called Slammin' Saturday Night. So you'll see the Mouth of the South from Orlando, Florida, managing one more time again, baby.
I love it, man. Yeah. Jimmy, thanks for coming by, man.
Hey, we love you guys. And Kathy, before I go, yes. Happy birthday, and just remember, never trust a midget, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. See you guys. We love you.
Jimmy Hard, man. If you need the information.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Listen, we have
warm me up from the snow, man.
We have two guests in the studio. They're in town. They're promoting the film Pompeii. We're all huge fans of both guys, and can geek out for an hour on the stuff that they've done.
Yes.
And now excited about them both together being in Pompeii. And it's going to take me about 5 minutes to get Adewale's name correct.
Adewale's fine.
Adewale.
There you go.
Adewale. Let me try it, though.
Okay, you want to go there?
Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje.
Yeah, you go. Let's give him a round of applause. Yeah.
Oh, you're full of crap.
Philly.
Nice. Yeah. Was he close?
Well known for his performance in the show Lost and
Oz,
most recently in Thor and a bunch of other stuff. And then I wickedly geek out on our next guest because I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones and read the books and all that stuff. I mean, he does a great a performance of Jon Snow on the show. Please welcome Kit Harington.
Yeah.
Welcome, Kit.
You said the name perfect.
Thank you.
Can you say Adewale's name?
Yeah, can you say Adewale's full name?
I know him as AAA.
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 How do you pronounce your full name?
Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje. And if it's any consolation, it took me 30 years.
Even your own name.
Well, it clearly hasn't hurt your career. You're doing a lot of work and a lot of good stuff. At some point someone told Schwarzenegger to change his name and he didn't, so...
Yeah, it really ensures that you get a full card on the screen.
You can't fit
anybody else on
that. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and like if you played football, you would actually have to wear two jerseys to fit your whole name on there.
Yeah, just a wraparound.
That's true. Well, the film Pompeii, you guys are hitting the road, getting the word out about it. Obviously, a lot of action, a lot of special effects in this. The story itself, it's kind of like, Steve, when you mentioned Titanic, there was a lot there with the ship going down, but the story around it
I've heard Titanic meets Gladiator. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's kind of how they're taglining it a bit. It kind of is, because it's, the volcano goes off, the ship sinks, and have a lot of fighting.
And the gladiators fight.
And the gladiators fight.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm just fascinated by Pompeii to begin with. There was a great History Channel story, a documentary recently about it. It's fascinated and has captured people's imaginations for years and years and years. And then you add on this other story about what was going on and with what effects can create this these days. I mean, there was a movie called The Last Days of Pompeii years ago, but it couldn't come close to what we're seeing on the screen here. You guys both come from special effects intensive backgrounds. Did you just walk right in, or were there any new challenges presented by working on this film?
I personally have been quite lucky in that with this film there was a lot of green screen,
okay,
but there was also huge sets built. I mean, and
to give you that,
and with Thrones and other things I've done, it's been the same thing. They've tried to build as much as they can. But you're right, you couldn't do a movie like this 10 years ago, and that's why I think it's waited till now to happen, because you can give the explosion the full weight that it deserves.
Is it, you come from theater, you were in the original War Horse?
I was, yeah. That was my first job.
Is this like theater when you're working on a set with a green screen and it's sort of left to you, the actors, to say, here's what's going on, roll with it?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be, because, a lot is left to your imagination.
Right.
And this is where the real skill of acting comes in, because you not only have to engage with the actor, but you have to imagine, for instance, there's great scenes in there where there's a huge tsunami coming
And, you know, there's nothing there but a little red cross.
Not as menacing.
So you really have to imagine and perform and not overperform. So it's a delicate balance. And
right.
I always said.
Were any of the exteriors, did you guys have to go to Pompeii to film any of this, you personally?
I didn't, but I think it did a personal sojourn down there.
Yeah. I did, yeah, post movie. But no, they went to Pompeii, the film crew went to Pompeii to get some big exterior shots. That was important. But we filmed all in Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what did you think about your visit to the site itself? Was it?
It was hilarious. Well, it wasn't hilarious. No.
Turns out the big seats.
Turns out
it was a blast.
Wow.
No, but
those funny people enshrined in ants.
Yeah. No, there were moments. There were moments where it was very, very, very moving. But it's much bigger than you think it is. And I walked in and I tried to do it myself with the little map, and then realized that was a bad idea. So I before. Befriended this 85-year-old Italian a tour guide who'd been doing it. So he said for like 50 years, and it was the best money I've ever spent. It was the worst tour I've ever had, but it was the best money I've ever spent.
Because he was a character.
Oh, he was such a character.
Oh, that's where the humor came from, not from the burned incinerated bodies.
He was just absolutely obsessed with showing me the phallic symbols on the wall.
Did wrong, because I went and I was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah. Okay. You have to have a guide when you go, I think. I think it's very important.
We've heard that they've ratcheted it in. And now, right, obviously there are pieces from the Pompeii and at various museums making and exhibits around the world. But we've heard that they've sort of, because it is something to be revered, and it's, you know, it's a sad story, that they're trying to make sure it doesn't get over touristed into oblivion. So was that what you found, or I mean, do they let you go up close, or are you kept back?
I've been to see a couple of things. There was a great exhibition in London at the British Museum. There's a real resurgence of interest about Pompeii and Vesuvius at the moment, and the really moving bits, the very powerful bits, are the plaster cast bodies, the pregnant woman hugging her belly, man covering his face from ash. And what I loved about this movie when I first read it was the idea that you would go into these people's stories, these kind of, why was that man clutching something to his chest, why was that woman, were these people doing when it happened?
It's caught in time. It's caught forever. You've done a lot of research, I know, Kid, about it. Is it, do they believe that happened at the moment of the pyroclastic flow from Vesuvius hitting them and just on the spot incinerating them?
There's been a lot of theories over the years, and actually the most recent one isn't that it happened. Until recently, we thought it happened instantly, that everyone was just boiled inside and died.
Right.
There's another place called Herculeum, which is the other side of Pompeii.
And it got hit first, didn't
and
it?
And it got hit first, and that was instant. But with Pompeii, it was over a period of about a day that these people were killed. And there are reports of people trying to escape and escaping. And it was more that they were literally covered in ash, and they were buried alive.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you guys, amazing. Yeah.
So you have this story. You guys, explain a bit about the story, because that's what I think is an amazing thing, too, because life is going on at the base of this, what would soon deliver death to the city. What are your characters? What are they about?
So my character is actually brought from Britain.
You were a slave?
Yeah, I was a slave, and my family at the very start of the film were killed, and there's a time lapse, and you see me as a grown up man, and I've been fighting as a gladiator for a long time, and then I find myself taken to Pompeii, and it's there that I encounter Adewale's character Atticus, and also Emily Browning's character Cassia, fall in love with Cassia.
Good choice.
And befriend. Or befriends.
He doesn't fall in love with me.
They don't fall in love with Atticus.
It's not. No. In fact, you're contentious at the beginning, correct?
Well, yeah. The character I play is a character by the name of Atticus, and he was a captured African and enslaved, and because of his prowess and physical ability, became the champion gladiator of Pompeii. And Pompeii then was the Vegas, as we would equate today, and the arena was the big draw. So he was the man to beat, and he's imprisoned with a man that he has to fight to win his freedom, and that man is none other than Kit Harington. So you see this wonderful relationship where they have to live together, but know that they're going to have to fight to death.
I love that. I think there could be no greater way, apparently, in Hollywood to get into shape than to do a than to do a sword.
Do the Pompeii route.
Do the Pompeii sort of route. I assume, I mean, how'd you guys do it? You seem like you're in shape to begin with, but, I mean, you got to get to it. You're very cut up, getting this and
you had to bulk up a little bit, right?
The process of bulking up and then shredding down. There's no better way to get an actor fit than tell them they're going to spend a lot of the movie with the top off. So that was incentive enough. But also, once you do with these things, you know, everyone presumes that's what you've got under your clothing for the rest of time.
No.
So I've done my penance now. I can just slob out.
So, but you're right about that. I never understood, because like Hugh Jackman was a perfect example of a guy who, for the role, for Wolverine, the last one, he
just
really
insane.
Got wickedly cut up. But you bulk up, you put on this weight, you eat a lot, you work out hard, and then you basically starve yourself after that. Am I right?
Yep.
Instantly. Yep. Yeah.
It became like the food, because we had a nutritionist, and the calories are very regimented in order for you to, shred down to a certain physique.
And you're supposed to look like people who are somewhat deprived of food, too.
Well, also, but physically, you know, Adonis. Really. But the food, after a while, started to taste like paper.
Do you find, if it helps, that you actually write down your salary and keep it in front of you?
While you're training, you know?
Yeah.
This
works,
is why I'm doing this.
Yes. Well, I heard 0-0-0.
Kid, I was reading an interview with you where you said that between takes they want you to look as like pumped as you can, so you'd be like doing curls and stuff like that. You felt like such a douchebag because you have to run over, pick up the weights, and start going because you got to look.
You know. And B-roll would be walking around filming you while you're doing it, like for the behind the scenes stuff. And you're like, not now. Come on.
You know what? And I didn't think about this until you had mentioned that about having your shirt off, because in Game of Thrones, your character is an exemplary warrior. Who obviously would have to be in fantastic shape, but you're in such cold environment that you're wearing loads of clothing all the time, so you don't really have to worry about that too much while you're on Game of Thrones.
No, in fact, you want to put on weight because it's so cold. They're kind of similar stories, but then they're also very, very different, you know.
Where's that shooting done for those cold north of the wall scenes?
That's in the fantastic country of Iceland.
I want to go to Iceland.
Oh,
you'd recommend it? I'm trying to get my wife to go on vacation there. Can you talk to her?
It's beautiful.
Is it? Yeah.
We shot Thor there as well. Yeah, and it will renew your vows.
Very cool. Yeah.
It's
cool.
A very, very still and spiritual place.
There's a way to sell it.
There we go. Uh-huh. Yes. With your voice, I'll have you do it.
It will renew your vows.
Speaking of Thor. I was reading your costume weighed something like 70 pounds.
I'll take that in half, probably about 40, 50.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Yeah. when you were talking to Kit about different roles and physiques, and, you know, I went from Thor to Pompeii, which is, you know, completely different, because I did nothing but calisthenics for Thor because of the weight. You just have to be agile. And then you go straight into Pompeii, where you're basically naked and wearing things that only women should wear. it's a very different regime.
That's right.
I have nothing but respect for women now.
That's right.
Nowadays, you know.
To geek out on Thrones for a moment, if you don't mind, Kip. I've been so happy with the way that channels like HBO have been able to take massive works of literature like this and to create them into visual medium. Because it's basically a movie every week that you get to see. The production levels have gone up so high that it's incredible that they can pull off these amazing pieces of film like this. Does it feel like you're working on just a really big ongoing film on these sets?
There's you get asked a lot when doing Thrones, like, kind of how does it differ from film? It doesn't really.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, other than the time elements. You know, you have more time on film to do stuff than you do on Thrones. But Thrones is moving TV into the world of film, I find. It really is, and the production values are what makes Thrones what it can be, because
you can put the money behind it, which makes it look fantastic.
And the fact that it's shot all over the world, mm-hmm. is amazing.
You can't fudge that.
No, it's mm-hmm. got to be one of the most expansive, mm-hmm. most adventurous
undertakings
ever in film.
Kit, do you watch it?
I watch every episode once.
Okay.
Once. Okay.
Yeah. I knew that you were coming in today, and I haven't watched it. Preston's been raving mm-hmm. about it forever, and so I went to HBO On Demand this weekend to try and catch up. It's not on HBO On Demand right now. You have to do the HBO Go app or whatever, and I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you got to do it. And
now the whole Pompeii thing doesn't seem that impressive.
But
they got incinerated, but they didn't have to worry about ass.
But when I met you guys last night, Kit, I was like really excited to meet you, but because I wasn't meeting Jon Snow, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Like, you know, I'm invested in this character, and I've seen, you know, all mm-hmm. three seasons. I started reading the books, and your character is somebody that I love, and I really, really, mm-hmm. I've grown to love even more through reading the books. So when I meet you, it's like, you're not
just a guy.
And you know that more than anybody else.
I always find I'm disappointing fans when I meet them. I do, because you say, oh, hello, it's lovely, you know, lovely to meet you. Oh, my God, Jon Snow. And you go, it's very lovely to meet you.
There you go.
I feel better. I gave him a gigantic sword.
Now I turn into a different person.
By the way, Adewale, you can take that calendar with you.
Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah, Adewale's used to join the calendar.
Yeah, while you guys were geeking out on Thrones, I was geeking out on this Preston Steve calendar.
Do you approve?
Yeah.
He likes Ashley Gallo. He calls on the Gallo.
Everyone likes her.
The Gallo.
Yeah. She would have been done very well in Pompeii.
Hey, Adewale, I have to ask you, obviously you've been in Oz, you've been in movies that are very aggressive, and now you're going to be in Annie.
That's right.
Yes. My favorite musical, film. Man.
Yeah, Casey's a total.
I
love Annie.
Yeah,
that's got to be a wild departure.
James? Yes, it's going to be something that you've not seen me do before.
Are you Daddy Warbucks?
No, I play Daddy Warbucks' right-hand man, Nash. And,
I love that character.
Okay. I get to do a little singing and dancing with the girls, and it's a lot of fun. It's lighthearted, it's warm, it's funny. It's still tough, though.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So are you in the number, I think I'm going to like it here? Is that
The number that I'm in is tomorrow, actually. Okay. It's the grand finale where we were dancing and, you know, tomorrow. it was fun. It was actually very nerve-wracking because, you know...
it's an iconic song.
Well, yeah, it's an iconic song, and you got to do it. Like, you know, you've really got to do it. So we say in this business, where there's cheese, you got to eat it.
I love that.
And I ate it.
Yeah.
So don't expect that to be C.O. Atticus. Just,
right.
Know.
No singing in Pompeii.
No.
I have to ask you about Lost, because we were all huge fans. I was a huge fan of the show. I loved it. What was it like? I mean, did you spend a lot of time in Hawaii? I can't. There was so much that happened. I can't remember how long or how many seasons you were on.
Yeah, I was on there for about a season and a half, which put me in Hawaii for about a year and a half. And
how was that?
Paradise.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Can you imagine? I used to have a speedboat next to my house, and I would go to work on my speedboat.
Stop it.
And I would come home, and I would fish sometimes on the way home, catch my food, park it, and go cook it. And that was how I got to work. That was my commute.
Did Terry O'Quinn ever take you out surfing or anything like that?
But we went out. We went out fishing together.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
I'm a black guy. We don't get in the water. Yeah. We stay on it.
I
don't mess with that. You know.
I guess so. Right. Yeah.
It's called a heavy bone structure. Right.
So you run the quickest from the tsunami, correct?
Yeah. Oh, you bet. A 100-meter sprint. You're seeing that. You know, I was gone, man.
Yeah, that we had a lot invested in that. As did a lot of people. Adewale, good Lord, I can't even say
AAA.
AAA.
There you go.
You know, our show focused in on it heavily. We'd like from episode one, and we would have weekly discussions on the air. We had viewing parties. We did all this stuff. It was huge. And then it ended, and we were all pissed off. How it ended.
There's a lot of pissed off people out there right now.
Well, you got out when the game was good. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, it's the 10th. This year's the 10th anniversary. So they're actually all getting together next month in L.A. So there you go. You get to relive it all again and party in Philly.
I just want to make mention of the fact that the movie is directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who's, I love his stuff, Resident Evil. He did a movie I love called Event Horizon. Very kinetic, great with action, but he doesn't lose the characters. Mm. He, you know, there is the story never overwhelms the human element, which I think is great. So,
is there a video game that will come out of this? Sometimes films, big action films like this, lend themselves for Pompeii. Because sometimes you'll get
it has that potential.
You know what I mean? You've got the fighting, you've got the destruction, and
I like to play the video game where Kit walks around laughing at
the Pompeii victims.
With the 80-year-old guy, right?
I want that story. That's the video game.
Yeah, I could get into that one.
like I said, the film is coming out on the 21st. You've got Annie coming up, Triple A.
And I'm going to start I'm going back to TV, actually, on NBC.
What are you doing?
I'm going to do a show called Odyssey. I start at the end of this month.
I heard about this.
What's that about?
It's kind of, like Traffic, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's all about some special ops guys who go in to look for the Taliban and actually get the big guy. But they find out that it's connected to America. There's funds going there and big secrets come out and I'm sent in to wipe them out.
Very nice.
When is that coming out?
Well, we still have to shoot it at the end of this month. So
looking to fall, probably.
Yeah, looking to fall.
Okay, nice. And what's the status of Game of Thrones right now for you, Kit? Is filming coming up soon? I know the new season's going to start in March, probably.
New season starts in March. It's the biggest by far for my character and my part of the story. It's very, very heavily action-packed this year. It's the most expensive season they've ever made. I think you're going to love it. And then we hopefully, I mean, it's not confirmed yet, but hopefully start again in July.
My guess is it'll be
a full-blown riot if they bailed on it without finishing
and
it.
And then, so. Kit, you're also a voice in How to Train Your Dragon 2?
I am, yeah.
When does that come out? I love the first movie.
I love the first movie as well. It's one of the reasons I was very keen, you know, to get to do it.
And, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie.
It's beautifully done. It's very well balanced between comedy and sort of a beautiful story. And this second installment very much carries on along the vein of the first.
Are you the villain?
I'm kind of a bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. I start off as a villain, then you see whether I carry on that way.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, you guys are busy people, so we appreciate you coming by here.
Thanks for having us, guys.
And best of luck with Pompeii. We'll all be going out to see it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. All right,
it's here for Adewale and Kit.
Yeah!
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app. Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's
Bizarre
File.
An off-duty California police officer pulled a gun on a man whom he accused of stealing Mentos.
Mentos?
At a gas station. That is correct. The man had, in fact, just purchased the candy, by the way.
Those are my Mentos, punk.
Sergeant Callahan. Callahan was there. He's dirty,
you know.
The man had just, in fact, purchased that candy, according to the surveillance video of the incident.
I suggest you put down those goobers.
You like those?
I like them a lot.
Yeah. In the video, a customer later identified as Jose Areola can be seen paying the cashier for the Mentos at the gas station.
Sounds like a nipple. You don't even deserve to be alive, nipple boy.
I don't like that.
I met a guy earlier who had one nut. Called him One Nut Andy. I'm going to call you nipple boy.
Jose Areola can be seen paying a cashier for the Mentos.
Yeah.
Moments later, a man in black shorts and a black shirt who is standing in line behind Areola pulls out a gun and tells him to put the candy back. After Areola tells the man that he paid for the candy, the man asks the clerk, did he pay for this? The clerk confirms the purchase and the officer apologizes to Areola. Areola told the Orange County Register that the incident left him scarred and angry. He said, it's been a month and I still can't shake it. He told the Register he's retained an attorney and is seeking financial damages from the police department.
Draw down on the guy from Mentos?
I know. The Buena Park police confirmed that the man is an officer in their department and that an investigation is indeed underway. Cops in China are hunting a tourist who stole a dolphin from a beach by throwing it over his back and carrying it off.
Seems like a job for Ace Ventura.
Yeah. And there's a picture of him. There's footage showing the smiling man in he's wearing swimming trunks, casually walking away with the poor animal slung over his right shoulder. It had beached itself, so they said it was probably dying.
I shall call him Fripper.
According to the local Marine Patrol, witnesses saw the tourist approach the dolphin after it appeared to beach itself.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
However, rather than rolling the stricken creature back into the waves, the heartless thief decided to make off with it.
Aww, poor thing.
Shocked bathers said the man approached the animal and then tossed it over his shoulder before walking off with a woman in tow. Dolphins are protected animals in China.
Sure.
The man was then seen driving off with the dolphin, and Chinese internet users were enraged over the video, which was widely circulated online, so they are looking for this guy.
Wow.
Well, it probably beached itself because it was not in a good way anyway.
Yeah, it did. They said it had beached itself, but rather than throwing it back in, he took it. A doctor described as the resident physician to the sex cult Nexium has been charged by a New York State Oversight Board with illegally conducting human experiments. Did you read about this?
I did not.
Listen to this. Okay, so the action comes 8 months after the State Health Department refused to act on a complaint from a former cult member who alleged that Dr. Brandon Porter forced her to watch disturbing rape and dismemberment videos.
Oh, this I did not hear about.
For a, quote, fright study that he was conducting.
Wow, so he's related to the cult, and he's doing this stuff on their behalf?
Yeah, he was their doctor.
Their main doctor. Jesus.
So, Jennifer Cobalt, the former member of the cult whose leaders were accused of brainwashing and blackmailing women into becoming sex slaves, said that her complaint that Porter may have performed his fright study on as many as 100 people. Now, she said he continued to film my reaction for at least 10 minutes, and I just sat there dry heaving like I was going to puke and crying very hard, adding that Porter began showing her the violent images without warning. She said he failed me not only as a friend but as a medical practitioner I'd trusted on numerous occasions with my health while I was in New York.
You're not a good doctor.
In September of 2017, it was a letter that she wrote to the State Office of Professional Medical Conduct. This is a letter they wrote her because she had complained.
Yes.
They told her that it would not investigate Porter, adding that the issues that you have described are not medical misconduct. But the OMPC has now accused Porter of moral unfitness, gross negligence, and gross incompetence, among other charges. He is accused of showing human subjects in an actual video of the horrific and brutal murders and dismemberment of four women by machetes and violent film clips, including a male African-American being viciously stomped by a Nazi, a conscious male being forced to eat a portion of his own brain matter, and a graphic gang rape. These are actual videos of these things happening.
Well, this is obviously a deranged, sadistic bastard, but I think we're just on the outer layers of what this cult is going to yield.
He's also charged with violating state law for improperly conducting studies on obsessive compulsive disorder, Tourette syndrome, and one monitoring the brain waves of those who attended Nexium programs.
And he also said that apparently people had to wait a long time in his waiting room, Preston.
Yeah.
And there weren't a lot of magazines to read.
The state also slapped him for not reporting to health officials that many of the attendees, including children, at a 2016 Nexium event became ill with an infectious illness that produced flu-like symptoms, vomiting, and diarrhea. Porter, an internist, resigned from St. Peter's Hospital in Albany last fall and reportedly fled town. So there's just more layers of this.
A diabolical craziness. Doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right. One more and then wrap it up, Case?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got some good ones here. Let me see if I can get a short one here. All right, yeah, this is not so bad. I don't like to end on really
gory
or nasty ones. A man was seriously hurt during a North Carolina road rage incident on Friday when he left his SUV and waved a gun at a dump truck driver on the road behind him.
Yeah, any Mentos in there?
Well, so the driver ran his dump truck over the man and knocked him out. Knocked him to the ground.
He tried to pull a gun on a dump truck.
On a dump truck.
Yeah.
When the man left his SUV, the dump truck moved forward, striking the SUV and the driver of the SUV. Police took the handgun from the scene. The SUV driver was taken to the hospital. The dump truck driver was uninjured.
Dump truck beats gun, right?
And an investigation is underway. I think so.
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you. In this morning's Bizarre File.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar. Grab your friends and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
We have, like I said, a lot of excitement in the tent right now, and this is perfect because it's our Black Listener Day. By the way, who's here? Our Faith, Preston, and Steve Black Listeners representing, and we have one of the greatest rock bands. I remember first seeing these guys on MTV and going, "Wait a minute, what? Who are these guys? This is a new twist on heavy rock with some jazz and some funk and all kinds of cool things thrown in there." And I saw this dude with this freaky-ass color guitar doing crazy stuff, and I'm like, who is this individual?
We ask that every day.
I'm sure you do. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Glover, Doug Wimbish, Will Calhoun, Vernon Reed, it's Living Color. Yeah! On stage at the Camp Out for Hunger, welcome to Philadelphia, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I got to make sure they're going through. Do we have everything? Oh, they got to go through. Thank you. Corey, welcome, man. And from what I understand, there's no gig here tonight or anything like that?
No, we drove up from New York City, actually. And
That's so awesome.
Drove down.
Yeah,
drove
yes, down.
Yeah. Yeah. Down.
Normally, we get people who might be promoting a gig later on in the night or something like that, but you guys came out of here, the kindness of what we're doing, and we really appreciate it.
We thought, you know, giving is something you need to do every day, not just during this season, but we thought it was very important for us to show up.
Well, it means the world to us that you would do this. We've been very excited about this. We are huge fans, and it's a bit of an anniversary from the album Vivid, correct?
Yeah, so 25th anniversary since the release of Vivid.
Man. Which was just a mofo. That album was just kicked ass. Is it great to revisit that stuff even though decades have passed?
Yeah, it reminds you of what you were and what you were doing back then. But also, because we played these songs so long, it's not news per se, but it's always something different. We always play it differently. We never played it the same way twice.
Awesome. You know what? Yeah, like I had mentioned, when I first saw you guys, I caught visually. MTV was the first exposure I think I had of you. And I must have come in the middle of a Vernon Reed guitar solo, and he was just ripping it to pieces. And just all this stuff. And then, you know, I was like, okay, this guy can rip and shred. But then I got a chance to listen a little bit more and heard some more soul come out of it, which was cool. A little more melody. So I was like, okay, these guys have a lot of depth. Musically, where did you guys all come from and how did you meet in the first place? Were you gigging in different bands and all of a sudden you ran into each other? Yeah, Vernon, I'm talking to you.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Yeah. Did you get everybody together or how did this band come together all those years ago?
Well, lo, those many years ago, Watery Dissolve, the Mists of Time part.
Yeah.
Corey lived about seven blocks away from where I lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I met him at my sister. It's a long story. My sister dragged me to a birthday party, and he sang at the birthday party. And I said, "Yo, man, you got a nice voice." And then later on, we got together. He went away. He did Platoon. He came back.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Corey was in the movie Platoon.
Then,
yeah, yeah.
Then everything else started to happen. Then Will Calhoun was a recommendation from a mutual friend, and then Will came in and he kind of knocked it. And Doug, I knew Doug from back in the days because Doug was around. And I actually met Doug at a recording session.
Okay.
And, you know, and lo, these many years later, Doug joined the band. And here we are today.
Yeah.
Here we are today. Was there a conscious decision to fuse the different styles that you guys incorporate into your music so powerful, so driving, as well with the social statements and the lyrics that mean something? I mean, Was that the plan from the beginning, or did it just happen?
No plan, just life.
Just life, okay.
Just life, that's it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, the sound is just awesome, and it certainly has withstood the test of time. We play it all the time, and it's always a huge reaction.
Yeah, and Corey, whatever happened to that acting career, man?
Yeah, whatever happened to that acting career?
You did Platoon and anything else after that?
I did a few things after that, and then nobody cared.
Oh, yeah. Man. Now, wait a minute. Is it your uncle's Danny Glover, right?
No!
No, that's his daddy.
It is. It's no. Your dad?
No.
No. Oh, he's over here feeding me lines saying it's his dad. Are you guys not related at all? Shut up.
No, his dad is Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover.
Your dad is Crispin Glover.
Your dad's Crispin Glover.
Yeah, Crispin.
He's
been holding a terrible secret, a terrible, terrible secret for 20 years.
So the McFly family.
Yes, know. I'm related. Eddie Glover.
Okay, Eddie Glover.
All right, we'll just move along.
We're related somehow. I have no idea how.
Okay. You know what?
Mama's baby, papa's maybe. That's
right. All right. Well, listen, obviously everybody's been waiting all morning long, and we definitely want to hear something. What are you guys going to play for us this morning?
You listen, and we'll play it.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Living Color on MMR.
There we go.
93.3 WMMR. Just a tiny bit of energy there, right?
Oh, that's what I love. They immediately connected with that, and they just got it. They're awesome.
Dude, so I slaved in my band over that song, Middleman, trying to play those licks that Will Calhoun on the drums back there plays. The man is incredible. I'm a huge fan. And some of those licks, dude, I busted my ass on trying to figure them out. So thank you for giving me that little puzzle, man. I appreciate that. And you know what? Could you make a boy's dream come true? Can I play just a little bit of Cult of Personality with you at some point? Hey, we can do it off air. We don't have to do it on air. But
well, why not?
I got to play just like the first chorus or something like that. But listen, I got a question for you. Vernon, do you know Tom Morello? You guys happen to be friends? What's that? Has he apologized for stealing most of your style?
You know, you're trying to start some mess, and I appreciate that. I understand how it goes down.
I mean,
me and Tom are like this.
Okay.
And, you know, it's all good.
Because I definitely see it. I mean,
whoop his ass.
See? I see it and hear it.
You talking about my man, the Night Watchman? Nah, man. We're good.
Yeah, he's great. He's definitely a great guitarist, but I see a lot of influence from you. I wondered if he had ever told you. All right, I'll be quiet.
Whoop his ass.
So 25 years ago, you guys got the album Vivid rolling, and obviously you had tremendous success with that. And did that tour last a long time? Did you guys see the world and do that whole thing at that time?
Yeah, we saw a bunch of stuff. We came, we started the Steel Wheels tour with the Rolling Stones right here in Philadelphia.
Nice.
It was a great time.
Did I hear one of you guys say, because I had my headphones on, I couldn't hear, did one of you used to live in Philly or from Philly?
Doug lived in Philly.
Live in Philadelphia? All right.
Here back in the 80s, like 83 to 85. I used to work at Sigma Sound Studios.
Wow.
Joe Tarza.
Yeah.
And all the good folks down here. I used to record with McFadden and Whitehead. Wow. All the Philly sound in the area.
That is awesome, man. That's cool. Well, welcome back. I mean, everybody loves having you guys here for sure. Are you currently working on some new music, did I understand, as well?
Yeah, we're in the studio right now. That's where we came from. We came straight from the studio here to do this. So, yeah, so working on a new record that'll be out next year.
Nice. And still in that Living Color vibe, in that rock and funk thing? Or
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Go ahead.
No, you're going to ask questions.
I was just going to say, I mean, a lot of times artists will say, okay, they always follow up album or subsequent albums, or we're going to a darker place or so on and so forth. This sound is so complex and works for you. Did you ever have that moment? Should we go in a different direction? Should we try a different sound?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. We think, should it be simpler? We don't know how to do it simply. It's
right.
It's just the way it happens, the way this works when the four of us get together.
Well, I think that's what makes it so listenable, is that there's so much going on. And
stuff,
it's
a lot of stuff for you to listen for. Like, you like the drums, and you can go on for months and months just listening to drum stuff.
Well, but that's what I love. The bands that I end up appreciating, I can take a song, and for the length of a song, I'll listen to the drum part. Then later on, I'll hear what the bass licks are doing. Then I'll focus in on what kind of guitar licks are coming in. You know, each time, pick out a different part to focus on and listen to. And I think that creates a lot of depth in songs. And I think that's what you guys have always had. So I've always appreciated that.
Can I ask a question about WrestleMania and wrestling? You know, CM Punk started using Cult of Personality, and then all of a sudden you guys, you find a new audience. What's that like for you when you get a pop culture phenomenon like wrestling and WrestleMania and a guy like Punk to embrace you guys and then revitalize everything?
Well, it was pretty great. When we met him, and one of the things that he said to us was the song was very personal for him because it used to be his go-on-the-field music for his Little League team.
Wow.
So his connection to it is really...
Big-ass wrestler, Little League.
Yeah, that was great. So meeting him was really great.
And now he uses it every time he enters the ring, right? And so, like, you guys get played all the time just because of Punk. That's awesome.
Excellent. All right, well, let's hear another song, man. Living Color is here, and they are here to perform, and we are loving it. So I'll just let them do what they do.
Yep.
All right.
Ain't nothing but a party, y'all.
Birdman speaking to you.
Moments that we have.
Oh! Here we go.
Right down to us in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Look at my eyes. What
Might be the greatest performance ever at Camp Out.
I agree. That was hardcore, man.
That was insane.
Corey, sometimes singers lose a little bit of range. You ain't lost nothing, man. You have lost nothing.
I've lost my mind.
You may have lost your mind.
The voice is staying. Okay.
This early in the morning, I do not know how you can hit those notes like that. He's just kick burning in the air.
I'm supporting you in your truth.
Shut up! Hey, does the wetsuit still fit?
Hell no. It's built to expand.
That's right.
That was 30 pounds ago. No.
It's been recycled.
Did Body Glove get? Did you get an endorsement from them or anything?
No, I didn't.
What?
No.
Oh man, that was an iconic look.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Paid for every crease,
everyone.
Wow.
All that sweat was paid for by me.
Hey, if we could swing Platoon 2, where you wear a Body Glove, would that be cool? Try to make good on that stuff.
Platoon 2, yeah. Electric Boogaloo.
Platoon 2, The Reckoning.
The Reckoning.
All right, well, listen, I've been told we do have to take a commercial break, but is there a chance you guys could play another one for the crowd in here while we're in the break?
Yeah, we'll play right now.
Excellent. All right, well, listen, and then we got you guys have to do the Papa Shot over there. You cool with that?
Will Calhoun wants to challenge the coaches. Well, I know they left.
Really?
The numbers still stand, so we can see if he bests them. Oh. Absolutely.
All right, we'll see if Will gets back there. But we're going to take a break. Let's hear it one more time for Living Color, everybody, on the Best Things to Be Said. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcasters. It's Kathy Romano, and I'm here to tell you
that it is finally your chance to win a spot to come to Kathy's Bitch Box Party. That's right, our next Preston and Steve sorority party, which will be held on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia, will be featuring the release of Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2. It's a 21 and older event. Winners and guests will each receive Kathy's Bitch Box, which is filled with some of my favorite products. Your first drink is free, plus a happy hour buffet. So I have personally handpicked these items that will go inside of the box, and I'd like to thank all of the contributors: Hey Honey, LC Boutique in Warrington, Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, Bondi Band, Sets Beauty, Wind and Wave Soap, Wine Knots, Priori Skincare, Crest Toothpaste, and Jade Yoga. Thank you everyone who contributed to make this amazing Bitch Box. So here's what you have to do for your chance to win tickets to the event. Email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Again, that's name, age, phone number to podcast@WMMR.com for your chance to win. Thanks for podcasting. Good luck, and I hope to see you on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia for the Preston and Steve Sorority Party Kathy's Bitch Box event.
Play a clip from our guest in studio just to set things up, and I think you'll enjoy this from one of our favorite movies.
Oh, Jim, I want to talk master. Now, I just want you to know that it's a perfectly normal thing, and I have to admit, I did a fair bit of master when I was a little younger. I used to call it the stroking the salami. Yeah, you know, pounding the old butt. I never did it with baked goods. But you know your Uncle Mort? He pets the one-eyed snake 5-6 times a day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eugene Levy! Yeah.
That's what I call an introduction. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Oh, man. There are so many funny moments that we reference all the time that you have been directly responsible for.
Well, you know, there's American Pie. Who knew? I mean, you know, everybody was doing this little movie at the time. Actually, it was called East Great Falls High. You know,
nobody, it took off.
Nobody in it. It was a fun. I mean, it was actually a fun movie to do. But honestly, it really took off.
And, I go back all the way to the early days of SCTV. One of the absolute funniest shows ever on television. And the character you did, Sid Dithers, was one of the funniest creations.
So how did you came? You drove? Did you flew?
the parody I was trying to tell these guys of the jazz singer with Al Jarreau was one of the great moments.
One of my all-time favorite pieces.
Yeah, you're the old Jewish guy trying to convince your son to become a rock star.
He's trying to convince him to be a rock star. He wants to be a cantor. Al Jarreau, he actually was a really good sport about that piece. It was kind of an exciting piece, and Sid's never looked better in dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks,
I gotta be honest.
And the Kiss shoes too were great. Yeah.
Do any of the SCTV have they ever put out a DVD collection? I don't ever remember hearing of that.
They're the third volume is coming out. Two volumes are out already. Two box sets. Are out already. They started coming out last year. Odd that you should mention. And they're great. The DVDs are really outstanding. I popped them in. You know, I haven't seen the show in a long time. And when I started getting these sets in, I would pop them in and look at a piece here and there. And it was, you know, it was a good show. That stuff holds up so well.
It was fun. Only show that had the comedic chops to make fun of Saturday Night Live and do a good job with it.
Well, we kind of poked a little fun at everybody. Yeah. I mean, television was our... was our target, but the show was just rippled with a lot of different levels and stuff on the DVD too. You know, some great stuff. Now that I'm plugging SCTV, but you know, the interviews for those interested, great interviews and really, really kind of interesting, exciting stuff on the special features.
John Candy, Rick Moranis, Martin Short. I mean, there were so many, great talents that came out of that trip.
Yeah, well, that was the case of the inmates running the asylum.
Right. Well, now you've got the new film out with Samuel L. Jackson and The Man, and this kind of flirts with the kind of cop drama side of things a little bit.
Well, it's a cop. You know, they kind of call it a, it's a, they're calling it a cop buddy movie, you know, but it's, I, it's, to me, it's not so much, you know, Rush Hour. It's not so much the buddy.
It's more the in-laws meets, like, North by Northwest.
Honestly, the in-laws is not a bad example because it's, there was a great movie where they're, you know, the kind of two-hander where you get a really interesting, great back-and-forth relationship.
Right.
Like Midnight Run. You know, good stuff. And the other buddy flicks are kind of, you know, they're more kind of funny. Two guys throwing out funny quips at the oddest times, you know? It's not really what we wanted to do. We wanted to flesh out this relationship with the two guys. And when you got Sam Jackson in there, it's you got the best guy to kind of try and do that with.
The movie starts off, it's a case of mistaken identity, and then it's off and running.
Well, you know, it's about you know, my character being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I play a dental supply salesman. Bit of a stretch for me, but I
there you go.
But honestly, the thing that was the most exciting about the movie was the fact that it's a relationship where my character actually has an effect on Sam's character. Sam plays kind of a hardened cop in this, kind of an angry guy, doesn't trust anybody. Not even his mother, as he says in the movie. Right. You know, she may be playing him, but and I actually get him to kind of look at life through slightly with a slightly better perspective.
Is it tough to be cool around Sam Jackson because he is one of the coolest people on the planet?
No, it is not. Is it tough to be cool? Don't even try.
You know what I mean?
No, don't even try.
Yeah,
because you're not going to come close. The man is cool. He's just cool from top to bottom.
Did you try to throw around the lingo that you learned in Bringing Down the House?
Wouldn't dare.
No straight up tripping boom?
No. You don't dare do that. Listen, you know, I got the bitch slap Sam, you know, in the movie, and you know, that's about as far as I went.
You have great lines in every movie you do. Yeah. Do you ad lib at all, or is everything from the script?
Well, I'd have to say that everything is from the movies I do with Chris Guest are improvised movies,
which are phenomenal.
They're fun stuff to work on because we, you know, we come up with the idea. You know, those movies are so cheap; they just let us do whatever we want.
are the scripts indeed? Because you write with
we write. Chris and I write them, but we don't write dialogue.
So it's just scenarios that you write, correct?
We write scene by scene breakdown of what happens in the scene and information and some jokes and character information and all the kind of enough meat on the bone where the actors can take the information and then kind of you know improvise the scene. But most movies like this one and most commercial movies, there's really no improvising involved. I kind of play around with words a little bit from take to take,
right?
You know, but that's about it.
Here's you know, Eugene being in Philadelphia, he's got to, you know, have some plans while he's here. Here's what he's going to be up to.
What are you going
to
do when you get into Philly?
We're going to see everything. We're going to see the Liberty Bell.
No,
we're going to see the place where they make the cream cheese.
Oh, honey. They're going to go to Philly, and in Philly, they're going to see where they make the cream cheese that we've been talking about for all these years.
I
want to
see where they make the light cream cheese. I want to go to that other building.
Yes, that factory's not made out of brick, I don't think. No.
And it's such a great group of people.
Jerry Fleck, thank you.
You know, the movies are so consistently funny. I mean, Waiting for Guffman is over the top,
it's just
hilarious.
Great. Is it a case where as you do the scene, you don't really know if you have a
winner
usable until you view it after, or are you so in the moment that you can't tell how funny it is?
Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't know.
Right.
Usually, you know. I think with Best in Show, we kind of knew. Listen, in this kind of movie, when everybody's improvising their scenes, you don't really know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth.
Right.
So the scenes are kind of fun to do. You know.
Yeah.
Whether they work for the movie or not, I don't know, because some of the best scenes, some of the funniest scenes in Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show kind of somehow end up on the cutting room floor because, you know, for the simple reason they just don't necessarily move the story along.
Right.
And when you're in the final throes of editing, those are the scenes that actually, you know,
you get the feel in those movies, though, that the scene that you're watching was just a one-take scene.
Yeah.
By the way, it's improv, and it would be hard to go back and do the same thing again and be off the cuff each time.
Well, you know, I would say they're not more than two takes usually.
Yeah.
I mean, two takes, and we do it, and then they go in for what they call coverage where they go in for different angles. And, you know, but the in those movies, you get a chance to do what you did before if you liked what you did, or you can change it. There was never any pressure to do the same thing. We're starting our next movie in October, actually. We're working on number four.
Is there anything you can tell us about that?
It's called For Your Consideration. It's kind of about the movie business in a way. It's about people working on a small indie film. And, you know, what happens when the Oscar word gets... dropped in conversation,
okay,
in relation to one of the actors in the movie, but it's that's kind of the subject matter.
Okay,
that sounds really cool. In Guffman and in Mighty Wind, especially the music really helps make the entire movie. And in Guffman, it's horrible music that sounds great. I mean, you guys designed it to sound cheesy and funny and American Midwest. Who designs the music? Who writes those songs?
In Waiting for Guffman, it was Chris Guest and Michael McKean. And I think Harry Shearer, who are the Spinal Tap guys.
Right, right.
Also the Folksman guys.
Folksman, that's right.
And in Mighty Wind, we it was the same guys and myself who wrote the tunes in that movie.
And you were nominated.
I've got a lovely little Grammy on my mantle.
Yeah. You won the Grammy?
Won the Grammy.
Wow, and that was actually...
Best song for a motion picture.
God love the
Not for this one.
Terrier. You know what? I wanted to ask because watching A Mighty Wind, are you really playing guitar on that?
Yes, sir.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yes, I took lessons for that one.
Wow.
We all played. We all sang live. You know, when the movie was done, we took the show. We took A Mighty Wind and went on tour with it. We played
You played the Tower Theater here in Philadelphia.
Well, there you go. That's right.
We gave away tickets for that.
I knew there were like four or five cities here, but you know, when you're on the road, man, and you're just you're on the bus. Sometimes you don't know what town you're in.
It's like turn the page from Bob Seger,
right,
man.
Yeah, that was just a great gig. That was so much fun. It's the closest you get to being a rock star.
This is actually a clip from the from the Grammy winning song.
When the veil of dreams has lifted. And the fairy tales have all been told. There's a kiss at the end of the rainbow.
You and Catherine O'Hara have a really your voices mix well together. They melodically they go together very nicely.
Yeah, very scary thing for me and Catherine in that movie because we were like the only non-musicians. You know, we both have a great musical ear, but we
the
other guys play and sing and did that in front of an audience, but we got the Grammy.
Well, listen, gang, Eugene does no wrong. So honestly, in every movie I've seen, and I've never seen one that I haven't liked. Even the one with John Candy about the runner
cop. Armed
and
Dangerous.
What was that?
Armed and Dangerous.
Yes. We got to see your ass in that one. That was.
Thank you for bringing that up. Actually,
yes,
well, it's taken 20 years to live that one.
Of course, we're looking forward to yet another Christopher Guest collaboration down the road. Thanks for letting us know about that.
My pleasure. Very guys. Much. A lot of fun. Thanks,
Eugene Levy, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only. We got to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Don't move. Friends.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Police say that they've arrested a man dressed as a tree for blocking traffic in Maine.
You can't do that in Maine? You can't dress as a tree and block traffic?
No, you can't. They say that the man didn't respond to officers when they warned him against obstructing traffic in a busy intersection in downtown Portland.
Welcome to Russia.
Video of the man being arrested after he blocked traffic again soon spread on social media.
You know what they found out, though, Preston? His bark was worse than his bite.
There it is.
I know I went out on a limb on that one. But the guy wouldn't leave.
The man was charged with obstructing the public way. Police removed the tree outfit and gave it to Public Works to take care of. A friend of the man says that he was trying to study the city's traffic patterns.
And they cut him down to size.
The man appeared to be dressed as a pine tree or another type of evergreen.
People are sad he's gone. They sort of pine for him.
Tomorrow he's going to dress as a bush. He's trying to branch out.
He's a bit of a sap.
I think we need to stick with the roots of this story. May I move along?
Yes.
All right. Oh, no, that's
move.
Not.
It's like a tree, the way trees move in the Lord of the Rings, the number second movie.
Tree beard.
Employees at Ulm Minster, which is a church in Germany, which is the world's tallest church tower, by the way, are begging the public to stop urinating and vomiting on the tower's stone base. Ew.
And why is that?
Well, building maintenance head Michael Hilbert said that the bottom of the tower is coated with urine and vomit. It's got piss and vomit all over the place. And that the stone base is being eaten away by the human waste.
That's just disgusting.
The city of...
And I love it.
The city of Ulm tried doubling the fines for public urinators to 100 euros, but the fine had little effect. And a city spokesman said that it is hard to catch people in the act despite increased police patrols in the area.
It's part of their urinator.
The Tower of Ulm Minster, thank you.
Thank you.
Stretches, listen, this is 530 feet into the sky. It's big.
That is amazing.
Construction on this church began in 1377, but wasn't finished until May of 1890.
This is very iconic. So why are there not bathrooms around this?
People just do it.
How disgusting.
Why vomit, though? I don't.
People don't pee and do crap in the city.
It survived the Allied bombing of Ulm late in World War II. Over 80% of the city center was destroyed, but this survived, and now it's in peril due to peeing and puking idiots.
That's just wrong.
Church officials hope the police will help further in their preservation quest and that the city will start providing free public toilets during events in the church square.
I think that's the way to go. Was this a big issue around Oktoberfest?
I don't really know.
And every time you go Ulm, you're actually saying the town's name, Preston, which is right. Ulm.
Yeah, Ulm. But it's beautiful. We're looking at a picture of it. It's just absolutely massive.
Wow. You've seen this cathedral before. It's an iconic cathedral.
Yeah. Authorities in China said that no one was seriously injured when a car carrying five people rear-ended a semi-truck and then ended up being dragged for 16 miles.
16 miles?
Yeah, police said that the...
How do you not hear...
The car rear-ended the truck on Tuesday when visibility was severely impaired by heavy smog. The truck driver failed to notice the crash, and the car ended up partially wedged underneath the trailer where it was dragged for more than 16 miles. Investigators said four people managed to actually escape the car while it was being dragged.
Oh, my God. We're watching footage of it, Preston.
While a fifth person remained behind after fainting during the incident, that last person in the car was rescued without injuries.
I wonder, do most of the 18-wheelers and the large trucks these days, do they have backup cameras?
That's a good question.
Because most cars, I think it's the law. I think most cars currently in production have to have backup cameras.
Probably not, Steve, because, I mean, you figure it's the truck hooks up to a trailer.
Yeah.
And those trailers are
they're
swapped out a lot.
Yeah,
so
good point.
It would be a big sweeping campaign to get them on all of them. This is messed up, man. A former Australian professional soccer player died in the hospital because his urinary catheter was wrongly connected to an oxygen supply, leading to an exploding bladder and collapsed lungs.
Oh, my God.
Could you think of a more painful way to die?
I can't. And when I heard this story, it was, I mean, you should be able to hook the right hose up to the right connector. And those, to me, seem like two completely different things.
An inquest is being held into the death of Steve Herzeg.
Do they suspect foul play at all?
Well, an accident, definitely. Yeah. The coroner will hear that Mr. Herzog's oxygen supply was incorrectly connected, resulting in his bladder inflating with oxygen, then bursting, and his lungs collapsing from the pressure of the oxygen.
God.
The court heard that Mr. Herzog, 72 years old, who was the first South Australian to play for Australia in a FIFA World Cup qualifying match, was admitted to the hospital because he had a fall and was having hallucinations. He was also suffering from a urinary tract infection, for which a catheter had already been inserted, but was considered clinically stable when admitted to the respiratory ward and placed on oxygen therapy. Soon after his admission, a nurse heard screams of pain coming from his room, and a code blue was called. An emergency team attempted to resuscitate him, but it was unsuccessful.
I hate to say this, but did he die quickly at least?
You know what? I don't know.
Because if he was in that kind of pain.
He was in severe pain. Yeah. The doctor who performed the autopsy found Mr. Herzog's bladder had ruptured and his lungs had collapsed, causing his death by respiratory failure.
Oh, my God.
It was highly unusual for the tubes to be mixed up the way that they were, they said. They also said it would have been quite painful when Mr. Herzog's bladder burst, and while the former soccer star was already suffering from respiratory disease, the injuries would likely have killed any healthy person, by the way. So that is just disturbing beyond belief, and we're going to end it there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, not a laugh.
That is your bizarre file. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or antisocial...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine star Terry Crews coming forward yesterday to say he, too, was groped by a high-level male producer. The muscle-bound Crews would not say specifically who the producer is, but believes we had recognized him by the arm sticking out of his ass.
Oh, my God.
Kim Kardashian spotted wearing a see-through Gucci bra while darting out to a local gas station to grab a late-night bag of gummy bears. The gas station attendant said Kim was very nice and even left him with a big boner.
Hey!
And finally, Kaley Cuoco is rumored, get this, to be considering foregoing a prenup agreement if she marries her current boyfriend, Carl Cook. Cuoco says she's not concerned because her boyfriend has his own money and keeps it in a sock. That's your Hollywood trip.
A new study in the Journal of Urology shows that genitourinary, I guess is how you say that, genitourinary injuries, that means injuries to your genitals?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your junk.
Have increased by 5 times over the past decade due to grooming-related reasons.
I believe this because the grooming awareness of that area has increased exponentially.
Yes.
And I think it's now the norm to have a little bit more of a hardwood situation going on.
It is now. And you know what? And I didn't have inspiration until I saw the story this morning. I think we know my stance on pubic hair.
You love it.
You like a fro.
But you like it down there.
I think there should be. And I've thought, I want to wage a campaign, and I've thought of a name for it.
Go ahead.
Bring back the bush.
Bring back the bush.
Yes. Thank you. All right. It's got alliteration.
Yes,
triple B.
Look good on
bring
a t-shirt.
Back the bush. Now, I don't mean disco bush.
No.
I don't mean...
You don't need the Everglades.
No.
You don't need things crawling out of there.
No.
You don't
want
to find a dead body.
Just a little something
down
there that says, hey.
Hey, how
are
you? Do you enjoy the shrubs?
Yeah. This is nice.
Take a walk through the garden.
Not the mind.
It's not like, where's my machete?
Now, I was ready to go on a full-on... I was going to state my...
We've got bush. We've got bush.
I was going to back this up with the injury stories that I have here. Not that I'm saying that grooming is wrong. I think that you should definitely groom to some extent, but...
You owe it to your partner.
Completely shorn, I think, it's old. We've seen it. Been there, done that. It's time to bring back a little bit of artistry. You know what it is?
Topiary.
Yeah, little topiary.
Yeah.
No, it's performance art.
It is. It's performance art.
That's what it is.
Annie DeFranco, right?
Yeah, think, right. Yeah. Yeah. Or, no, Laurie Anderson.
Laurie Anderson.
Yes,
but
thank you.
She shaves Annie DeFranco.
She does.
That's right.
No, so I am going to stand up, and my cause is now bring back the bush.
Well, I think this needs to be pursued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make stickers, shirts, the whole thing.
And I can't wait to see our new picture gallery.
Yes.
You know, and now's a good time to start this campaign because a lot of people, you've heard of winter bush, right?
Yeah.
You know, where people sort of let it go anyway because, you know, they're not in bathing suits or anything like that. So they grow it out anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the winter bush is in full effect.
And I think shaping it is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Listen. A little bit of panache, a presentation. You owe it, really, to the person you're intimate with, you owe a little bit of style.
If you're with me.
So, I guess you're on board with him? You agree?
I go anyway. Anywhere the crotch blows, I am there. Okay. However, I am not morally opposed to a more natural approach to your
Okay, I mean, because you guys know, I
wound.
Completely disagree.
Okay,
I find it. I don't know why. It's just personal preference. I think. I think. I've, and when women first started doing it, you know, 15 years ago, whatever it was, when it started to become very, very popular.
Yeah.
I found it awesome and exciting, but now I'm over it.
There's a room for every yeah, way.
Sure.
Don't be a lemming and follow the rest of the shaved people off the cliff. What you need to do is just do whatever rocks your world. I think it's all open. It's a smorgasbord. Broad.
Triple B, bring back the bush.
Yeah.
Researchers showed that pubic hair grooming injuries increased by 247 incidents each year between 2002 and 2010. And by 2020, there were 2,500 incidents a year.
Is this just women?
The majority of them.
Okay.
Most of the injuries involve razors, 83%. And the most common injury type was a laceration. Females were the most commonly injured part of the area was the external female area, according to the study.
Not their souls.
Researchers found that the injuries.
Well, that's injured sometimes as well.
I'm hurt.
Weren't only in women. In fact, only 56.7% of those presenting with injuries were women. So a lot of guys, too. I've cut myself. I do groom.
I do as well.
I don't go all the way down as far as I possibly can till it's completely clean, but I groom and you nick every now and then.
That is a nick you do not want. Yeah, that I have nicked and it's unpleasant. I use the electric hedge clippers. No, I use the electric razor and it does a fine job, especially if you take it down to, you know, the lowest. But
yeah,
man, when you're down there, it's like that movie where they drove the nitroglycerin through the mountain pass.
Right.
It's like you're playing with fire.
In 2009, the state of New Jersey considered a proposal that would have banned bikini waxing after two women became infected after getting Brazilian waxes. I don't remember that.
This was an issue. I do remember this. It was because of unsanitary conditions, and they got pretty seriously infected.
Mm-hmm. Dude, and that when
they became zombies, Preston.
Wow, unbelievable.
Those Brazilian waxes, like, they get in there.
Yeah.
They get it all.
How many times have you had that done?
I've never had it done.
Really?
I just know.
Pain an issue, or you don't want somebody rooting around down there?
Well, without getting too personal, my skin is very sensitive.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just take care of it myself. Even when I get my eyebrows waxed, every time I get my eyebrows waxed, the girl goes, "Are you okay? Your eyes are very red." Wow. I just have sensitive skin.
You should just do that nodding thing then. That they do.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've never tried that. I've always wanted to try that. I've heard it's worse than getting it waxed.
Because
wax
you're ripping
is like,
it out, right?
It's like one sweep and you're done, where the other thing that is...
A little bit at a time.
They pull one hair at a time.
Do you know this? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the strings. And they
talked about it not that long
they
ago.
They target one. Yeah.
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 It's pretty wild.
Now, if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. Do you wax yourself?
No.
There's no waxing.
No, it's just, it's right. too, I would get.
Okay. Well, they say that removing the hair, tiny little wounds result that could become breeding grounds for bacteria.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
And stuff
makes
like
sense.
That.
Wow. So, what would win out? Kathy's fear of bacteria or Kathy's fear of hair?
Yeah, it's a good question.
The bacteria, anything, disease, bacteria. She lives in a completely antiseptic world. She has a hazmat suit in her car right now. She would rather have anything but the bacteria.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So.
Bacteria is worse than hair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think so,
She'd look like Grizzly Adams in favor of having the bacteria.
By the way, pubic hair does have a purpose, providing cushion against friction that can cause skin abrasion and injury, protection from bacteria and other unwanted pathogens.
And you can tie your car keys to it.
And is the visible result of long-awaited adolescent hormones, certainly nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about, they say.
Would you describe yourself as particularly hairy down there?
No. Well, just average, I guess.
I'm average.
Yeah.
You know, I had a Fabio would be.
there comes a time when I'm like, okay, that's a bit much.
Time to groom
a little bit.
I keep it lean. Yeah, I'm not hairy to begin with, so my arm hair and leg hair is not that pronounced, so the crotchal area is pretty
Case, nice. Do you groom at all?
Nah. Well, like once a year or something like
that's
that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Arbor Day.
Yeah, I don't like the way it feels. It gets itchy.
What about you, Nick?
I like to shave. We're getting personal. Yeah. I like to shave it all the way down and let it sort of grow back, and then I'll do that once every year.
With your beard too.
You're in
well,
the
kind
summer,
of, yeah.
In the summer though, it's bad because you start to get that the heat prompts this itching, right?
Yeah, I'll shave more often in the summer.
There's a period of time during the grow back
stages where it's itchy.
But Case, you can groom without getting that itchiness. You don't have to shave it all the way down.
It itches whenever it's
even if it's just short.
Yeah,
get a Howie Long.
It itches the most.
There's a young lady who's been grinning on the other side of the glass during this entire conversation and looking over this way. Yeah, what's did you have something to share?
Oh, no, it was just making you guys are funny.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. It's the first time she's heard the show. She had like a devilish look on her face. So I thought maybe she had something.
I just chew it off.
I went to Strella Med Spa and got it taken care of down there.
Really? So does it not grow back?
No.
At all?
No.
So it will never grow back?
Well, I don't believe you. Let me see.
No, I mean, like, you do have to do a little upkeep every few years. You have to go
back.
You
have to paint.
For the most part, it's pretty
Marissa, you shouldn't have done that.
Do you?
No. It's not all gone.
Oh, okay.
You can draw it.
Groomed area.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
In a little shape.
Yeah. Thank you. In a little shape.
Ooh.
What
is it?
I don't know. What shape is it?
Flyers?
It's an M. It's the Flyers logo?
That'd be kind of awesome to have my initials
Flyers
on
logo.
MM.
Shoot on goal?
You know what I always liked, Steve, was Marilyn Chambers had a little heart.
Aww.
Down there. That was kind
of
nice.
Maybe think of sugar cookies.
Yeah.
I am so hungry.
MM. Get your initials.
That'd be cool.
There.
Because of course, depending on what would W?
Let me hang on.
I thought your name started with that.
What's W for? No, turn me upside down.
Let me go to Catherine, who's a surgeon's nurse. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Catherine?
Rock and roll!
So I am actually a medical surgical nurse, and I have had multiple male patients where they have had from grooming, basically ingrown hairs in between the testicles and the anus.
The taint area. Okay, exactly. So they've had ingrown hairs, and that is a result of grooming down there.
Yes, and it's gotten to the point where it has developed an abscess, basically a big, huge infection underneath the skin.
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
Well,
oh,
my goodness. I don't go. That area is like.
I stay away from that
That's
area.
Behind the stage. Yeah. You know, you don't need to. Yeah, that's.
No need to go. Pay no attention to the man behind the counter.
That's where Oz hangs out.
Yeah, the curtain.
Yes.
Not the counter.
And it's sometimes.
An old lady behind the counter with the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. The majority of the time, they've had to have it surgically drained, so they have to cut it open.
Oh, dear God.
Man, you've seen it all. Write a book, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. I actually, three men I had all in one night.
That was a hell of a night. You must have been liquored up.
I know. It was all about penises and taints all night.
So wait a minute. Three different guys, didn't even know each other, came in with that same situation.
It was the weirdest.
And now they're a crime-fighting team.
Weird. And two of them shared the same room.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, they had something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
How are your balls?
Thank you, Catherine. Yeah. Wow, that's nasty. I'll bet there's pictures of that. You remember that website we were at the Camp Out for Hunger? It might have been a couple years ago.
Oh, my God.
Popthatzit.com.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
The most repulsive thing on the internet, in my opinion.
That'll make me throw up.
Yeah, it's they would have easily had stuff like that.
I think if you don't go crazy, I would never, you know, but I understand they said it's a 500% increase in these injuries. In these cuts. That's what I was hearing.
I don't remember.
500% increase in nicks and cuts.
Yeah.
I wonder how young it's happening, you know, especially with guys, because I just know there's no way I was cutting that off at such
Hell
a young age.
No.
Right. No.
It finally happened.
It's here.
I am a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was excited the first time I saw
Bink.
That first hair that popped up. Yes. I was a late,
how you doing?
I was a late dreamer
me too.
In that regard.
Hi, Casey.
Hey.
And I was thinking,
my friends will be along.
It's never going to happen. I'm going to be boy man all my life.
Going in the locker room.
Is he working in some sort of spa down in Taiwan?
Right.
That's a good question, though, Case.
What?
What he said, like, you know what I mean? How early do they do it? Because that's what you wait for. You wait for it to
I guarantee
grow.
Tony Canisano in second grade had a full Mario mustache.
Right.
And so that guy had the, you know.
Yeah. I know a couple of my son's friends. He's 13, and they've got mustaches. It's bizarre.
They do?
Yes.
13?
Mustache.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I didn't get.
That's when puberty kind of starts.
Yeah. 20 before my first training bra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I realized it was a guy I
now
returned.
Now you're all training bras and coach
purses. I know. It's really, I'm becoming a woman.
All right. Hang on. Let me go to Ryan is one of those patients that the nurse called in about.
Whoa.
Let me go to him. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Pretty good.
All right, so how do you know you were one of those guys?
Because I was in the room with another kid. I don't want to give him his name, but he he actually ended up losing one because the blood in his testicles.
Oh, oh my God.
He lost a testicle because of a grooming accident.
Yep. I was lucky enough to be able to save mine. They were about the size of a grapefruit, but... Oh, my
God. Jesus, Ryan, let me ask you. Did you ever groom again after that?
I will do light trimming.
Okay.
I will do light trimming.
But never the full shave all the way down?
Oh, absolutely not.
So you'll putter around in the garden, you won't napalm it?
No, God, no.
Okay. Dear Lord, Ryan, so what was recovery like from that?
It was... I walked around for about a month with a
cast
with a packed hole. They packed it with gauze, and I was walking around for about a month about a quarter size hole in my testicle, letting it just drain.
Dude, it constantly had to annoy you that was something that you just did voluntarily, really didn't have to do, and then
I did it for convenience for my wife, maybe to, you know.
Make it a little easier. Yes, you're trying to do something for your partner. You're trying to be well groomed, and you end up wreaking havoc.
Yep.
And I was in the hospital for probably 4 or 5 days.
Oh, fortunately, God. The finest nut man in Switzerland was. We have a specialist,
Gunter.
Yeah, Gunter. Gunter Bolsack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I handled this. Well, I've seen many grooming accidents, so we can take care of you. But first, we have to pack your hole.
Yeah,
it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. But yeah, the other guy, he actually, like I said, he ended up losing it because they cut the circulation off because it swelled so bad.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad you mended up, though, man.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy, bud. We'll see you.
Yep.
Bye. Do a lot of ball offs, though.
Bring back the bush, man. Save a lot of problems.
Well, I think naturally you probably should have a little bit. You know,
I think it looks nice too for ladies. I do, but that's personal preference. I don't know. Hang on. Let me go to this. Bob is a college professor. Lest ye think this is just a throwaway conversation of filthiness. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys? You guys rock.
Thank you. What'd you want to share, Bob?
All right, so all through high school, about 12, I started sprouting major pubes, chest, like Austin Powers picture, chest and crotch. I get to college, freshman year, you know, we're in psych, college freshers talking about Freud and how Freud's theory was if you have, a large amount of pubic hair in those areas, basically means you're a sexual dynamo. It means that, like, you're the man of the men because you have that hair in those areas for enhanced pleasure.
Then I'm the man of the woman.
The man.
Yeah,
so if the man has a hairy chest, hairy crotch, it's more pleasurable for the woman during sex in both areas.
Okay. So Freud?
Yeah, this is a Freudian theory. So basically, since then, I have not groomed anything. I love it. My wife loves it. And I take it as a point of pride.
So I wonder if it has to do with testosterone levels, too, if you have more
I don't
hair.
Know. But I got to tell you, man, she loves it. I love it. And ever since that day, I felt really good and never ashamed about my pubic mane.
Well, your pubic mane. Actually, I've heard the opposite, that an excess of testosterone is actually more in line with baldness.
I don't know. I just remember that my freshman year, and ever since then, I haven't touched a razor in either of those areas. I love it.
Interesting.
Right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
Cheers. All right.
So he was a college professor.
Yeah.
He just wanted us to know that.
I guess so. I don't know.
I have a hairy bush.
Well, he studied Freud, so
he's
giving us his credentials as backing up that theory.
By the way, I'm an astronaut. And my ass is incredibly hairy. I'm an astronaut. Oh, okay. I guess you would know.
So listen, be careful down there. And I think that, in fact, who was it the other day? It was Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Who had written in her book that she thinks that that pubic hair needs to make a come. All right, anyhow, thank you for sharing. We do appreciate that. And just be careful if you're going to be down there.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.